SNES Classic. Awesome. Enjoy those games since we bid farewell to the Wii Shop channel. Now only the Wii U eShop remains as we wait for the Switch debut of a robust virtual console store. Stay tuned for more news of Lost in the Games and plenty more starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, October the 1st of 2017, with episode number 702 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, joined right over here in Studio N7 in lovely Sacramento, California, by my side, as she is, except not last week, Dark Sakura, Jamie Summers.
What are we going to call the next studio?
It's great.
We should call it Ingrate.
Ingrate. Okay. Well, wait. Are you saying that we're going to leave this studio?
Or we can name it after my car and call it the Roller Skate.
Why would we leave this studio? I'm not ready to move. Moving.
I'm just saying.
Moving is punishment for stealing in some countries.
It just made me think about it.
Oh yeah. I just.
I'm thinking about the future. You know, run episode 900.
Yeah. Or episode 1000.
I'm also feeling a little feisty because I was listening to Lewis Black on the way to the show.
Just because of that. Like not
well,
just because
Lewis Black does encourage the best parts of me.
Not just because it's your normal nature, like how you always are. she says she eats her, what is that, a bagel or something over there?
You can try a piece. It's Hokkaido cream pan.
What? That's
Hokkaido
a mouthful.
Cream bread.
Okay.
It's really good. It tastes kind of like pound cake.
Oh, it's not actually.
It's made with milk.
Mm. Little pound cake.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like that.
You don't look like a mini Alaska, Rob.
Food tasting live on OLR. Well, that's the perfect thing that goes with video games is food. So it's just natural that we're going to bring it up.
Nom, nom.
Anyway, the tech master of all things food, Loki, he's not here tonight,
he is
sadly.
He's not the master of his gastrointestinal system.
Unfortunately, one of the kids got him sick. So he had to bow out
that's
of the
why
show.
You don't have kids.
Stop it.
I'm kidding.
His kids are precious little angels, except when they aren't. And make him sick. So Loki's sick today, so he couldn't be at the show. So it's just Jamie and I holding down the fort. Now, what's up with that? Are you and Loki like the same person? Because last week it was me and him. This week it's me and you. Can we have all three of us host the show?
I'm cuter.
What?
I'm cuter.
I don't know. We have to see what our chat thinks. What do you think? Who's cuter, Dark Sakura or Loki? Answer now in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com because we do take
I'm
live.
I'm a cutie and Loki is booty. I'm kidding. Hearts.
Live.vognetwork.com. We tape at the Voice of Geeks Network every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And again, that's vognetwork.com. And already some answers are coming. It looks like 50-50 so far. E3VL starting us off tonight suggesting Loki, but when he's Tingle would be the cutest.
Okay, I can go for that.
There you go. And you got a yes queen from come on Nolgus who says Dark Sakura slays. Which is cracking me up because I know we don't have this thing on webcam.
I'm a fucking cute cream puff.
Yet, wink. But you've got a shirt on that actually says slay all day.
I do.
And it looks like you actually made that out of tape. Like it looks.
No, I got a Target.
Really?
Yeah. Cause remember I also have that shirt that says can't adult today.
Yeah.
The same.
It looked like the look of it looks like somebody
I bought
like,
the shirt for pride.
Tape. Yeah. I know. I like it. Don't get me wrong. All right. Anyway, there it is. thanks for answering our informal,
Midna's cuter than all of you. So shut up.
All right, so we're going to get into some gaming news and talk about our weeks and all that good stuff. Let's kick it off. Let's kick off tonight's show talking about the Super Nintendo Classic, which is kind of what's dominating the gaming news cycle this week because I know a lot of folks were very much anticipating this. And I think the big question out there was Nintendo going to fuck this up?
On second thought, I think I do have some of these other games.
So Dark Sakura, now we talked a little bit about this at the tail end of Bobby Blackwolf tonight, but you're, for now anyway, passing on this Super Nintendo Classic just because you, and anybody who's listened to OLR for a while kind of knows, you and the hubby collect video games obsessively, at least the old stuff especially.
Well, we did, and now we kind of don't need to collect anything anymore.
Well, meaning, okay, so when I say that, like the retro stuff obsessively, so you stopped at a certain point, so maybe your collection when it comes to PlayStation 3 isn't as impressive, but you stopped collecting like 10 years ago, so Super Nintendo was out, and all every game that they ever made, except for...
We haven't really actively sought out anything unless something was a super good deal.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, it was... Well, holy hell, we're at a thrift store and someone is selling a Super Nintendo with Pocky and fucking Rocky 2. Do you know how much that game is by itself?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like $300 unboxed.
Yeah.
And we got one for $50 with a pile of other games and another fucking Super Nintendo.
Because somebody didn't know what it was worth.
Hello, Goodwill. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
So, but because, okay, but you built up this collection then essentially
by accident
in the 90s and the early 2000s.
In the early aughts, yeah.
So, and it doesn't all go bad. They're all cartridges.
They don't spoil.
They haven't rotted. They yellow, but they haven't rotted.
We may have some disc rot on some laser discs, but our cartridges are eternal.
So you don't really have a need for this?
Not really, and I've played Star Fox 2. I've played the fan translation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. It's okay.
I don't think I'd pay $80 just for Star Fox 2. That's just one of those little, like, it's just a little, like, boop. It's a little cute dot on the cupcake. It's one of those little cinnamon hots on top of the cupcake. Nice little surprise.
That's gross.
Oh.
But I'm looking over the list. I don't like fake cinnamon. I'm looking over the list. And, I mean, I'm really trying not to do the toot my own horn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly believe, like, the only game on here that I'm not sure if I own other than, of course, Star Fox 2, because no one owns a legit cartridge copy of it. Hello.
Right.
Is I think we don't have Kirby Superstar. I think I do have Kirby's Dream Course.
Because I have Kirby's Dream Course, and my collection is nothing near.
No, I think I have Kirby's Dream Course. I think I don't have Superstar, which is a travesty. I'm pretty sure we have Contra 3 somewhere.
So all this SNES Classic made you do is realize, shit, we need to find a copy of Kirby Superstar.
Pretty much. I mean...
Fair enough. Okay, but let me ask you this.
There's only one game on here I really don't care about.
Let me ask you this, then, if you don't want to toot your own horn. Mm-hmm. Take yourself out of your shoes for a minute. Put yourself in my shoes. Now, I played the Super Nintendo. I love the Super Nintendo, but I didn't build up the collection you did. I kind of took a break from gaming in the early 2000s because that's when I was in college, and I didn't really rediscover my love.
I gamed extra in college.
I know, but I didn't really rediscover my love for gaming until, you know, I took a few-year break, and then, like, DDR kind of brought me back, right?
Yeah.
And here we are, you know, all these years later. But, you know, if I don't have all those games, but I have memories of playing these games at my friends' houses, do you see where this is more appealing to me?
I totally do. Yeah. No. And keep in mind, if I didn't have at least half of the games on here, yeah, hell yeah, I'd be all kinds of hot for one.
Okay.
And we've asked our buddy, you know, hey, if you get another one in, let us know.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great to have, but our NES Classic is... It's still sealed. We have not opened it. It is on a shelf on top of, I want to say, a stack of Genesis games, and that's hilarious.
You know, some people who still can't get one, that now they're going to hate you for that comment. But no, it also you have to also look at the perspective. It is a collectible item, and sometimes you don't open collectibles. There's some people don't open their Amiibos.
But that's stupid.
Well,
all my Amiibos except for my Animal Crossing ones. Because I got all the Animal Crossing ones.
Right, right.
And I got all the Kirby Planet Robobot ones.
But I was going to say, if I was in your shoes and I had the big impressive collection, then I probably would pass on this. You're right. There wouldn't really be, like, what is there to drop $80 on? The only thing I could remotely think of is, well, A, the cute, I mean, it's adorable. The little thing is adorable, the little Super Nintendo, even though it doesn't, like, the eject button doesn't really work, but it's cute. But the only thing I can think of is that, like, the fact that it's HDMI native and doesn't have to be run through converters, that's cool.
See,
I mean, that's
that
the
was
one.
What we were talking about making it worthwhile for.
Yeah.
Because we can't play it on our 4K TV without there being significant lag.
A twist.
And see, that was what we ran into when we did the NES marathon. For I think Dan was doing it for Child's Play, just, you know, games all day. And I was trying to play the Guardian Legend, and I was like, fuck, I don't remember my reaction time being this slow. And it turns out there's like a 1 to 2 second delay using the converter. And that just makes games like that practically unplayable, you know. But, I mean, if we did another one, probably run it through the, you know, we picked up a Wega for like $10 at a thrift store an age ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, well, your ex-roommate had a Wega, right?
Oh, the one, the one I tried to forget? Yes.
Well, sorry. No, it is. But it was the 2DX house for a while.
Yeah, I know, I know. And Romani Melrose Place, yes.
Yeah. Oh. But that was, it's been great because it's really high def for what it is. And we've been able to play on it. So, I mean, it's just like, do I want to sit on the couch and play? Or do I just want to go in the game room and sit on one of those chairs that Dan, you know, ripped out of old Honda Prelude to make his driving rig out of back in the day. He sold the driving rig, by the way. But we still have the Prelude seats on boxes.
Let me get to some of the comments from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. VidPower, feeling good about the SNES Classic, saying, my friend and I played the SNES Classic all day yesterday. Yummy nostalgia all day. Fuck consoles in our chat. No, tell me how you really feel. Says NES Mini plus SNES Mini equals $160. Raspberry Pi does both and is $35 and can do both. Get a man who can do both.
Okay. I don't need a man.
That's right. I am an independent person who doesn't need a man. But anyway, look, all that joking aside, like, and I have to address this because it was a really funny article that was going around Twitter and Facebook this week.
Oh,
was the
I
whole
love that
like
meme.
The whole like, you too can get a Raspberry Pi and never shut the fuck up about it and all that stuff. Like, I get that perspective of using the emulator. It's a valid perspective. If I couldn't get my hands on an SNES Mini, and I've said this on the show many times, I would have been left with no other choice than to steal it. And that would have been doing the Raspberry Pi option. Because, I mean, sugarcoat it all you want, unless you own all those games you're putting on your ROMs, putting on your Raspberry Pi, you are engaging in it's very gray area, and it's, you know, but it is,
it's piracy,
a form of it.
I
yeah.
mean, let's just put the word on it. Yeah. It's piracy.
But I would have done it too.
You're copying that floppy,
right? But I would have done it too if I couldn't pick up one of these things, if Nintendo did not want me to have one. But I will say this: there's a few things to be said about the fact that it is official. The fact that it is a cute little collectible, that the little, you know, device itself is great, and it is an official Nintendo product and so forth. All those things are, you know, appealing to me in a way. Just as a longtime gaming fan, I want the stuff that's, you know, available by Nintendo. Now, will I have to use a Raspberry Pi to play the stuff that I know Nintendo is never going to put out on any type of, like let's say I want to play Pocky and Rocky 2. Like, that game is just never coming back. That's why it's so, you know, so if I want to play that, I'm going to have to use Raspberry Pi. I don't have another choice. But, you know, for these games that, you know, were, and I got to say, it's a pretty impressive list of games. I told Dark Soccer I wanted to do a thing here at the top of the show where I said, okay, I want you to take three of those games and strike them and tell me what three games you'd put on it. And Jimmy's like, I can't do it.
No, there's one on there I would get rid of.
Okay, one. Which one?
It would be Contra 3.
Contra 3.
Because it's not really the greatest Contra game.
Right.
I would probably put Seiken Densetsu 3 on it.
Okay, well, that's, well,
I mean, or
fat
actually,
chance, but
Kirby's Avalanche.
Okay. Three Kirby games, Jamie?
Three Kirby games. Fuck yeah.
Why not just a Kirby classic? You know, I wonder if this is where, you know, I haven't even got to the news story I wanted to read, but I wonder if this is where Nintendo might go with this next. Like, I know everybody's expecting an N64 classic. But I'm going to throw a different option out there. Maybe for 2018, Nintendo might look at doing a Mario classic. And what it's going to be, it'll be like a little Mario head or some really cute little Mario collectible.
It'll be like Kirby Butt or something.
And what'll be built into it is going to be like, let's say, some of the things are, you know what that SNES classic is missing? That's a really big void in it? Super Mario Brothers All-Stars. It's completely missing from that. Now, all those games are in the NES Classic. But anyway, they could do a Mario Classic that has those, Mario World, Yoshi's Island. Yes, I know all these things already exist. But maybe they throw in a couple other of the Mario side story stuff. And then,
how about Where's Mario? Everyone's favorite.
Mario's Missing?
Mario's Missing. Yeah, whatever.
Do Mario 64 is also going to be in it. And I bet that would be a thing. And then they could do a Zelda Classic that would have all the Zelda games and Ocarina of Time, and maybe Majora's Mask as well. That may be a direction Nintendo goes in. That would be my prediction. If I was at Nintendo and I was like, what, you know, do we want to do an N64 classic? I just, an N64 Classic would probably not have as many games on it. I know it sounds really shady, but if they can't get the third party licensing to have shit like GoldenEye on it, which I don't think they would be, like, I don't think they can get GoldenEye on it, you know, and some of the other stuff, I don't know if it's going to be as must have.
Well, they've lost the license for the likenesses in GoldenEye. Actually, I think they've lost the licenses for the name.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a bunch of stuff that went around it, why it's had some problems getting re-released, but crap, there was another. I think that they'd have some trouble doing some of the N64 games unless, they wouldn't, because they'd probably have enough memory built in for, instead of the expansion port.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them going the route of doing an N64 Classic.
But we'll see. I feel like Nintendo is going to ride this wave another year one way or another, so we'll see.
But really, they're riding on the coattails of Atari,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the Atari Flashback.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that's already been done. It's just finally they're like, oh, there's call for it. Ooh, let's do it.
All right. Well, so to talk a little bit more specifically about what's going on in the news and the blogs about the SNES Classic this week, it sounds like overall the experience is going better for people. And granted, everybody's issue is different because, like, even I notice in chat over at live.fognetwork.com, we have everyone got a mini but me man, which I think is Breakman. So I think there are some people that are still frustrated. I do hear Amazon made a big screw up that messed some people over. So I think some people are still salty about that, and I acknowledge that. I get that. But it sounds like the big picture is a lot less people are salty this time than were salty about the NES Classic. And I think those that are salty now, if they want to still, I mean, some people may just say, you know what, fuck this whole thing and bow out, and that's fine. But those that want to stick with it, I think probably will end up with an SNES Classic, you know, sooner rather than later. So I kind of feel like the vibe out there is genuinely, you know, positive. US Gamer kind of did a little compiling of all these different stories, kind of looking at different boards and things like that. And people overall were pretty much saying, you know, it was way better basically this time. Things were doing better this time. You know, the lines were there, but, you know, it was kind of manageable. Most people were able to get one if they showed up even, you know, an hour beforehand or what have you. You didn't have to camp out all night, although, of course, many people did, especially at places like the official Nintendo store and some of that stuff. So, anyhow. Also, I'm noticing in chat they're talking about how Mario is Missing is really not that great of a game. It's not.
It's edutainment. It's for small children.
Yeah, no. It's the Donkey Kong Jr. math of the Super Nintendo era.
It's like it's trying to be Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego with Mario.
That's actually a really good analogy. And but Carmen Sandiego, you could type, and you can't really do that on Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
that's what makes it.
But you see what I mean, though.
Yeah.
It's meant to be secret, you know, education. Ooh.
Do you want to talk a little bit here? I know we've addressed it, but you want to talk a little bit here about the Star Fox thing at the top of the list there?
Oh, yeah, Star Fox. So the ROM's already been dumped. You knew.
How is this? I mean, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek. Obviously, it is news. It made all the wires up there, but I'm saying it tongue-in-cheek. How is this news? Because hackers are going to hack. We all know that, right?
It's we knew it was going to happen right away. How quickly did they get the NES Mini figured out?
Oh, before it was on shelves, just like this
Pretty
Star
much.
Fox thing. Somebody took one of those things home early that was in a store somewhere that had a connection and dumped it before the thing was even out.
Well, and also they got it extracted to a dev cart,
mm-hmm.
and they had an RGB modded SNES hooked up, and also the dev cart they has is Super FX2 dev cart, and got it running on a Super Nintendo. So it works. There's a video of it and everything. So I'm completely not surprised. And you know, the one thing I'm waiting for is to see now how much capacity for, you know, more games does it have on it. How much longer until they figure out how to get more games loaded on it or create like a ROM loader or something like that. So only a matter of time.
Probably not too long. I hear a lot of the technology in there is very similar to what already exists on the NES Mini. So I'm sure that I think they've already had some. There's like a whole Reddit dedicated to the hacking the Super Nintendo Classic, and I think they've already had some type of like limited success with it. So probably I would say I don't know if I would go in and hack mine today, but I'll give it a month or two for everything to kind of iron out, and then we'll see. I'm kind of torn on the issue because, you know, A, do I really need to do that? B, do I want to, you know, quote unquote, taint the collectible, I guess, for lack of a better term, by doing that to it? So I don't know. I'm going to kind of just give it a couple months and see what I want to do. But
well, and I'll share the video with everyone in the chat room because it's just neat. The guy shows the cartridge he has and everything and then loads up the game. And it works on a Super Nintendo. So, hey.
Tiger Claw in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Sky, but first, try to beat every single game on the SNES Mini before you do that. You know what's funny? I have beaten...
Good luck with Contra.
I've beaten a lot of them prior, but yeah, I mean, I think it would be fun. It would be... I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure I'm by far not the only one thinking this. There's probably hundreds of people doing this, but I thought it would be a fun little like streaming thing to actually stream beating... You know, all the games on there, at least the ones that I can do. You're right. I don't know if I can do Contra 3, but I'll try. I can try. But some of those games are going to take a while. Like, you know, don't forget, guys, things like Final Fantasy 3, 6, I know, but 3 in this case, Final Fantasy 3 and Secret of Mana, those games are hours and hours and hours. Those games are still long games. Just because they're retro did not suddenly make them faster. You know, unless you're speedrunning them, but I'm not a speedrunner. That's not what I would do with them. I would play them as if I was playing them for the first time.
So I'm going to have to check the date on this one because there's a... I mean, I know that Beta 64 has done one on Star... Yeah, this is the old one. I was hoping that Beta 64 would do an updated video of Star Fox 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, now that we have a release of it. But I don't know because I liked watching the old video.
All right.
Well, I also learned something new.
Yeah.
That the Super Nintendo in Australia looks like the Super Famicom.
Oh, does it? That's the one in Europe looks like that too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same. Yeah.
I didn't know it until... I didn't even realize it until I saw my friends.
I think those are cute, and I wouldn't mind getting one of those, but I think it's the exact same game lineup, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the one in Japan is different, just like the NES Classic had some different titles in it. Like, for example, I know... Let's see, I'm actually pulling it up. I know Legend of the Mystical Ninja was on...
Oh, the Goemon.
Goemon, yeah. You know, and that is on the Japanese one. I'm actually trying to pull up to see what the changes were that they made. Okay, so for our version, Japan does not have Earthbound, Kirby's Dream Course, Street Fighter II Turbo, Super Castlevania IV, and Super Punch-Out. Those are unique for us. Japan does not have those. But Japan has these five instead. Goemon. They have Super Street Fighter 2, the new challengers. That's weird. We got Street Fighter 2 Turbo. They got Super Street Fighter 2. That's kind of weird, but that's how it worked. Japan also got Super Soccer, Panel de Pon, and Fire Emblem Mystery of the Emblem.
Those are pretty epic, though, for
I'm really surprised
the
they
releases.
Did not get Mother 2, and we have that. I guess
I don't know that it was as big of a deal.
Yeah, I guess, though, as far as RPGs go, you're right. It probably was that Fire Emblem was just, like, the way bigger deal, whereas, you know... Earthbound was pretty big here, even though Nintendo still continues to rob us of Mother 3. Earthbound 2, whatever you want to call it. So, anyway. All right. Hey, we talk about games that aren't just Super Nintendo. We do play other games, too. So let's, before we get into the rest of this week's gaming news, let's talk about how was your gaming week and the types of video games that you've been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, did you get to play some games? Well, actually, really, the past 2 weeks, because you weren't here.
Yeah, Well, it's like I mentioned before, I bought Cuphead. Haven't had a chance to start it yet, but I'm really looking forward to that because that's a game I've been waiting for a while. I quit WoW a couple of weeks ago. What else did I play? I'm still playing Idle Pouring on my phone because it's actually ridiculously fun and has like all of the parts of an MMO without... actually having to play it, if that makes sense. I mean, you play it, but you don't have to do the running around annoying part. And, you know, your quests are kind of different. So I'm still kind of playing Miitomo and Pokemon Go. I participated in a raid all by myself, and it was my first raid ever, and it was the one around the corner from Rob's house that I did on the way here.
Did you? Was it like a Magikarp or something?
No, it was a Bayleaf.
Oh, okay. So, like, one of the one stars that you can do by yourself.
Yeah, and
no
I caught him, too.
Good job.
With whatever that white ball is.
Premier ball.
No, whatever. It's white. White balls. At least it's not wrinkly.
Your milky white balls. Yes.
Okay. I also I got Danganronpa V3 and I started it, but I think I'm going to stream all the parts of it that I do. So I will be playing it a lot more slowly than I wanted to. But and I was thinking that because I started it on a Wednesday. Because I started with the demo, which I still need to finish the demo. I'm not going to do the demo trial. I'm just going to play it on my own. But I'm going to start with V3. I was supposed to do it on Wednesdays, but I'm going to see Gorillaz on Wednesday.
Oh, shut up. Where at?
San Francisco.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Because my friend Crystal got an extra ticket.
Oh.
And I couldn't
the get same up. Crystal I know? Yeah, I think yes. It's the same Crystal I know, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Got an extra ticket, and so I was like, hell yeah, I want to go. So we're like, we're going. I'm like, heck yeah.
Awesome.
So I've wanted to see Gorillaz for like 12 fucking years. So it's happening. Booyah.
So, and they do, just for people that are like, isn't that a cartoon band? They
yes.
Do, they do like the hologram, they do the Tupac at Coachella thing, right? They
no,
do the holograms.
I don't know if they're doing it for this one.
Oh,
but
really?
They used, the one that they did last year was like, they used to have like the big screen and everyone playing behind the screen.
Hatsune Miku. It's like a Hatsune Miku
but
concert.
But if they do it hollow like that, and then I get to see Damon Albarn in person, I'm like, oh! So I'll be happy. Because okay. I was also a big Blur fan in the 90s because
sure,
of reasons.
Me too.
But not to digress too much from the game thing. We got a new pinball.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Medieval Madness.
Congrats.
It's the re-release that's got like the color LCD screen and all that, and mm-hmm. the more like the digital screen. And it's got like the black trim on it. It's, I think, one of the tournament editions.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of beat Dan on the game today. Like, I don't beat Dan at pinball like ever, and I beat him by like a million points today. It was pretty fun. And we're having to fix Star Trek, so... But yeah, we have a Medieval Madness in our living room now.
Fun. The collection grows.
I'd like to go to Disneyland, but Dan keeps buying pinball tables.
I don't know. It's a pretty good trade-off.
I'm just giving him a hard time. I super love pinball, and I really... Now, if they redid Theater of Magic, oh, heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have like three or four that
God,
are on
that
my
table
list.
Is so fucking good. Sorry.
I want...
Theater of Magic...
Of the four that are on my list,
uh-huh.
it would be Theater of Magic.
Uh-huh.
It would be Bride of Pinbot 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that's got the conversion in it that has like the extra modes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Black Rose, the one with the cannon and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really like a Big Bang Bar. But those are, even the repros are expensive, so.
I think, you know, I don't collect pinball machines yet, wink. But I think my dream list would be...
Oh, Baby Pac-Man.
Baby Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Pinbot. The original.
I used to have one.
Theater of Magic. I think that's on almost everybody's list.
Theater of Magic is expensive now.
It's a great table, though. And
you'd
probably
be out $10,000 for one.
Magic of Scheherazade, I think. Or what is it? The Genie of Scheherazade. What is that one? The one with the big lamp in the middle that spins.
I'll look it up. I think it was, though, like Magic of Scheherazade.
Yeah, something like that. So that's, and that one I really like, too. Yeah. Oh, maybe Adam's Family.
Adam's Family is good, but it is pricey.
It is. Well, it's so, like, I know I'm naming a bunch of cliche tables, but these are my memories from, you know, many years ago. And
well, don't forget, people in California, the Golden State Pinball Festival is coming up next year.
All the way for next year. I'll mark my calendar.
In Lodi.
Now. Wow, okay.
It used to be Pinagogo in Dixon.
Yeah.
And the owner of the event, I think, sold it or gave it to somebody else. And so they moved to Lodi in an air-conditioned facility that doesn't have corn pollen in it. Thank you, God. and it's now like Golden State Pinball Expo or something. I'll get news for it and post it.
And Dr. Tsuya points out in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com, surely they have pins at
it's
California Arcade Expo.
It's
CAC.
A bunch of pinball.
Absolutely.
But Golden State Pinball Festival is pinball.
Yeah, exclusive.
Yes.
No. All right, anything else for your gaming week?
No.
All right, I'll talk about my gaming week then. I'm going to do Pinball too, but I'll be a little less on it than Dark Sakura. But I did play, because it just came out this week, Pinball FX3 just came out. And so I downloaded it on Steam. And if you didn't already know, it imports a lot of the stuff that worked with Pinball FX2. I think some of the licensed stuff doesn't totally carry over. Like the Marvel stuff does, the Star Wars stuff does. There's a lot of it that does come over. So that's pretty cool. So I was, playing some of those tables. And so it's kind of like, well, what's different? What's new about it? Well, they have some more like competitive modes, which I thought was cool, is that you can do like a little tournament, which was, very similar to the Bethesda Pinball app, which some of those tables are in a separate app on iPhone and Android, where you can kind of like play other people. And if you beat their score, you get season ranking points. You're basically playing like a seasonal challenge type thing. And I thought that was cool. So I was playing a little bit of that. So I dabbled in. But the problem is I can't do every table in the season because I don't own all the tables. So that's, Pinball FX, if you didn't already know, is free to play. Except you don't, I don't know if it comes with any tables for free. I think you can demo tables, all of them, for free, but you have to actually purchase tables a la carte. But one of the Humble Bundles a year or two ago had like 15 tables in one of the Humble Bundles, and that's where I think I built my PC collection. I have a pretty decent collection on PlayStation 4 as well, but just from what I've collected over that era. But thanks to that Humble Bundle, I have a ton on PC as well. And Bobby Blackwolf in chat pointing out that Sorcerer's Lair is free. So there is one free one in there. So that's pretty cool that they give you at least one. And that is one of the tables that's in the tournament right now. So you can even participate in the tournament just with the free tables. That's pretty cool. So I played a little bit of that. I want to tell this story. So I went, I'm so tired today, you guys, because I took a trip yesterday to San Francisco, and part of it was Rocky Horror related. So I was up really late last night supporting the show over there. But what we did earlier in the day when my pal JD, who's been on the show before, we took a trip over to Oakland. And we actually went to the Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment, which I'd never been to before. I guess it's been around for like years, and I had not been over there, but they were having their 6th anniversary special. And JD found out about it on Facebook and was like, Rob, there's like a video game museum in Oakland. I was like, there is? I think I have heard of this. And we just never fucking been. So we went, and it was cool. Like, it's just, it's a lot of like, it was basically, okay, Dark Sakura, imagine if your vault was the size of the house. And you let strangers come in to play whatever games they wanted. That was kind of the museum, which I thought was kind of neat. So, but but there's a part of me that's kind of like, man, what's the security like in this place? Because there's a lot of stuff that's not behind glass cases. And I was like, there's a lot of games on there. They must have something that they don't share the secrets with. But I had a good time when I went over and just, looking at all the classic stuff. And I did get my hands on something. I did play, even though there were quite a few people there, I couldn't play everything, but I did play. And I know the first words out of Jamie's mouth, watch, are going to be like, why don't you just come over and play that at my house? But the thing that I played was Pac-Man on a Atari 800 computer.
I don't have one.
Really?
An Atari 800.
Okay.
By the way, the game you're thinking of is Tales of the Arabian Nights.
Oh.
Magic of Scheherazade was an RPG on the NES.
Yes, I can see how I get those two confused. I knew Scheherazade. Okay. Tales of Arabian Nights. That is it. Thank you for correcting me on that.
You're welcome.
Okay. But anyway, where was I? So we played Pac-Man on the Atari 800 because why not? It was available and it was like, hey, this is old. And it was actually, it's a decent translation of Pac-Man, believe it or not. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I had a good time at the museum. So props to those guys over in Oakland. They are located in Oakland at 3400 Broadway. You can check out more information at themade.org. I might reach out to them and see if we can get one of those guys on the show in the coming weeks to talk a little more about what it is they do over there, because I thought it was pretty cool. Because one of the things I liked most about it was that I saw a lot of people my age in their 30s, late 30s, bringing their kids and introducing their kids to old games. So it's like, you're going to play Pac-Man the way I played Pac-Man. I thought that was really cool.
And you're going to cry just like we did.
Exactly. So, I thought that was really cool. So props to those guys. As far as other stuff, I don't know if I played a lot of other new stuff. I guess two small things on Nintendo Switch, because they released a ton of stuff on Nintendo Switch this week. So I did pick up Mario Brothers in the Arcade Archives, Because you remember a couple weeks ago, Nintendo did that Nintendo Direct, and they mentioned that, hey, this Arcade Archives thing that's been all these Neo Geo games, we're going to expand that to Nintendo-made arcade games from, you know, 83 and 84 in that era. So Mario Brothers is the first one they put out. And yes, Mario Brothers has been out in several forms. It was on the NES, and then it's in every freaking Mario Advance they've done since then. But nothing seems to recreate the original quite so well, especially down to the sounds. And the fact that the sound in that game was actually kind of garbage, yeah. But that was the charm of it, was that it was so garbage. Like the coin noise was, it's just like really like messed up. But that's part of the charm of it. And it really took me back to being at the roller rink and playing arcade games and dating myself, but whatever.
I told you what my roller rink game was, right?
No, I forget.
Frogger.
Oh.
To the day that I can't play Frogger well unless I'm on roller skates.
My biggest one was Spy Hunter, which always cracked me up because I had the pedal with roller skates. Exactly.
We had a stand-up pole position there, but it was always broken.
The
Babaloo in Dothan, Alabama.
And then I also bought P-Cross on the Nintendo Switch. I think it's called P-Cross S is the actual name of it. But I thought, it's a cheap little game, and it's one of those nice little games that it's like, oh, I can pull the Switch out while I'm like lying in bed, and this is a good game to be able to play before I fall asleep. But I need to stop buying new games because it's fucking holding me back from finishing Samus Returns, and this is an issue. I need to go back and finish Samus Returns. But there's one other game I got pulled into this week that I need to mention. One other quick thing, because it was one of those games where I was like, I didn't play enough of this a year ago when it came out, so I'm going to just fucking fall down the rabbit hole hard this week. And I played a lot of it over the last weekend and stuff. Last weekend, not this weekend, but the weekend before. Civilization VI. That's right. Remember Civilization and how addicted we all get to that game? And somehow, I only played it a little bit when it first came out, but then I just kind of resisted, and there was all this other games coming out, and I was able to stay away from it. Well, this week, I was kind of sitting there looking at Steam, and Civ 6 started saying, come play me. Actually, do you know what it really was? Do you know what it was that brought me back to Civilization that made me think about it? I don't know if you guys have watched Star Trek Discovery yet, but the opening credits made me think of Civilization. I don't know why, but they did. Like, just, like, the animation made me think of, like, the intro to, like, Civ 4 or something. Like, I don't know, this weird, like, connect in my mind. I was like, I need to go play Civilization. And I do that sometimes. Do you guys ever do that? Have you ever seen, like, a movie or something? And it's, like, it's not necessarily, like, you go see Resident Evil and then you're like, I need to play Resident Evil. Like, I remember when I went and I saw the movie Stardust in theaters, I immediately had to come home and play Elder Scrolls Oblivion. Like, have you ever had, like, something
kinda,
like trigger you to go like, I need to play that game?
Kinda.
Anything you can think of? I'm looking in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com to see if anybody has one, although I know we're a little delayed.
No, but Kroll made me want to play D&D.
Which one?
Kroll.
Oh.
I saw it in the theater as a kid, but every time I see it, I just want to break out, you know, the rule book and find people who want to do, you know, second edition with me.
Everyone got a mini but me man in chat says, I watched Friday the 13th and wanted to go home and play Operation. Oh,
actually, you know what? I always want to play Splatterhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not, I mean, the stupid Friday the 13th game, Splatter fucking House.
Splatterhouse kind of was Friday the 13th, wink, wink, nudge.
It was much better than the game that had the name on it.
I love the NES one. I don't give a fuck. Like, I know people hate on the game all the time, and I understand. It is not a good game. Let me make that clear. But there's a certain charm to it. I can't get away from. It's so good. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. I want to talk a little more about some announcements here, and then we'll get into some gaming news. So you can always follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. I think we don't have any shows off scheduled in the coming weeks, so we should be here. Maybe Veterans Day. I'm thinking over that holiday in November. It's around November 11th, 12th. Maybe gone that weekend, but unsure yet. So we'll keep you posted because that's still over a month away. So, meanwhile, we are going to get into some gaming news. Let's do it. Let's start off tonight. Loki's not here tonight, so I'll start off tonight. And let's... What? You sad that Loki's not here?
I know. It's sad.
It is sad. All right.
But I'm still cuter.
He'll be back next week. So it sounds like folks that are in the Nintendo Creators Program, I don't know if you remember this, but this was a program that Nintendo wanted people to sign up for to basically validate their YouTube streams and enter a sort of revenue share with Nintendo. And it was the way that Nintendo was going to stop basically like copyright claiming your videos all the time and doing the monetization and that. I am really oversimplifying the situation here for time, so sorry. But apparently folks that are in that program actually got sent an email talking about that live streams can no longer be done. What? So yeah, Nintendo's creator program sent out an email and it goes like this. Thank you for using the Nintendo Creators Program. We've updated the Nintendo Creators Program user guide with information on how revenue generated during live stream broadcasts on YouTube will be handled in the Nintendo Creators Program. Live streaming on YouTube falls outside the scope of the Nintendo Creators Program. This means that you cannot broadcast content on YouTube live from the account that you've registered to the Nintendo Creators Program. Please check the user guide for details. Thank you for your support, blah, 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 blah. Like, so what? What does Nintendo have against their content creators doing live streams? And that, I guess, is the piece that I'm not really figuring out. Like, why did they? Maybe you guys know in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, but why did Nintendo suddenly decide to pull the plug on this? Did something go on where maybe like in a live stream something kind of nefarious and bad was going on and bad words were said and things like that during a Nintendo game and maybe Nintendo can't really monitor that stuff effectively? I'm not sure what it is. I feel like it's got to be a control thing at the end of the day. Yeah, and that's what Dr. Tetsuya in our chat room kind of thinks over at live.vognetwork.com. Maybe live streams are harder to police. I'm really not sure. Kaijudo says, This freaking streaming out tube, game cutscenes BS is getting out of hand. Let's see. VidPower in chat says, does Nintendo's policy cover Twitch as well? Well, what's interesting about that is that the creators program wasn't for Twitch. It was for YouTube and all of the content that goes up on there because that's the on-demand content. And obviously, YouTube had their monetization program in advance kind of before Twitch had theirs. I mean, Twitch had the partner program, but the Twitch stuff has really blown up with the affiliation and the bits and the subscribers through all that program. So I'm not sure Nintendo has figured out how to battle the whole Twitch thing or if they can. But I wonder if that's not going to be something that doesn't happen before the end of the year. Maybe it's kind of starting with this YouTube thing, but certainly that's one of the places my gut goes is, well, are these YouTube creators then just going to go over to Twitch? Although, I don't know, that might be a really hard thing to do, to have your audience go with you, you know? Like, that's, you don't want to risk losing your audience over a move like that. I don't know. Tiger Claw in chat says, this is why streaming on YouTube isn't a good idea to begin with. Everything is all nice and dandy on Twitch. Well, I don't think YouTube would want to think about it like that. And then where does Mixer fit into all of this? And I know there's an easy joke to make there about it doesn't because nobody uses it.
In the Mixer.
But the reality is Microsoft is not going to stop pushing Mixer. And Mixer does have some things that, you know, separate it apart from the competition. So, you know, we have to consider that as well. How is Mixer going to fit into that whole equation? Probably whatever ends up happening to Twitch is going to happen to Mixer. But we'll see. I don't know. So there you go. That's something that's happened. I don't know what the future holds for the streaming program. Dark Sakura, do you think Nintendo needs to stop doing this to their streaming population and the people that evangelize their games? Or does Nintendo have the fucking right to say our games are rules?
Nintendo has the right to say our games are rules. But they need to be willing to give a little bit to their fan base. You know, there has to be a balance. And I think that they're just taking that, we need all the control ever to all the things line that they always do. So, I mean, it's not really a should they or should they not. It's a they've already done it. It doesn't matter what we think they should do. Mm. Does that make sense?
No, I mean, totally it does. I mean, you're right. We can whine and bitch and moan all we want, but at the end of the day, Nintendo can do whatever they want to do with their copyright. But Jamie, I guess an important, you know, thing to keep in mind is that these YouTube creators then in turn have the right to ask themselves, do I want to keep supporting Nintendo or am I going to tell them to fuck off? I mean, and that will be the interesting thing as a result of this. But it's, I think it's really hard for a lot of people to walk away from Nintendo because of the fact they have such gigantic behemoth things. For example, this Super Nintendo Classic, I'm sure tons of people are streaming gameplay on all 21 of these games right now, but this would all, you know, be a part of that. You know, and when Nintendo does put out a game, like when Mario Odyssey comes out, there's going to be tons of people that want in on that and want to watch people play it and want to stream it and so on and so on. I mean, no matter what Nintendo's rules on the whole thing might be. Dark Tetsuya playing a nice line here saying, meet the fans in the middle. I agree, though it could be worse. It could be like Atlus in Persona 5, which I think is still somewhat under embargo. And he's referencing that whole rules and restrictions that Atlus put out about, we're going to copyright strike you if you broadcast past a certain date in game. Remember that whole thing? So that was a little bit too much over the edge. So Tiger Claw pointing out that people are streaming Samus Returns on Twitch. And you know what's interesting about that, Tiger Claw? Streaming from the 3DS isn't exactly easy to do. I mean, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you have to modify a 3DS. Like, you have to pay, like, a bit of money, like hundreds of dollars, maybe like $200, $300, to mod your 3DS to put in a capture device to be able to stream from the 3DS. Because it doesn't have, like, a built-in HDMI output or anything like that. The Switch is different. It has HDMI output, so you can use the same capture card that most people are using for other devices, like PlayStation 4, external of the native streaming, same thing with Xbox One. So, and as a live streamer on Twitch, Twitch.tv/RobRoberts, plug, it's easy to stream. If you have a capture card, streaming on the Switch is fucking easy. But I can't do the 3DS. Yeah, and Tiger Cloud points out you modify your 3DS or you can buy a 3DS with a capture device installed. Exactly. So it costs a bit more money. And the reason why I point that out is that, like, these fans on Twitch are paying more money to be able to stream Nintendo's games. Now, granted, you know, some of the more successful ones get their bits and their subscribes and their, you know, high viewer counts and their money. They get their money back on that investment. It's a business investment for some people. But for many...
That makes it a tax write-off.
For many, it's not. Well, if you have the paperwork filed to have your own...
To be a business.
Yeah, as your streaming business as a business. I would wonder how many of Twitch's top streamers actually have registered LLCs.
You'd be surprised.
You think?
It was on, like, one of the, you know, how to monetize your Twitch things I was looking at.
I guess when you get to a certain point, somebody probably approaches you and says, have you thought about this? I guess that probably happens to a lot of people. I don't know. I'll never get there. What do I know? Although, to be fair, VOG is an LLC, and Bobby really figured a lot of that stuff out that I couldn't figure out. But we do have that business end of things. But we're not really making money off this venture. We just have it so that when we try to approach conventions for sponsorships and things like that, people know we're serious, that we are a business and that we're not just, you know, individuals. So we have it more for the, you know, being able to have formal paperwork sort of thing, formalizing a lot of things. So anyhow, and hopefully in the future, maybe some extra stuff. Yeah. And Bobby's pointing out you do have an LLC. Well, yes, I know, but that's, see, Bobby, I don't have my own LLC. That's a little difference, a little difference there. All right. Anyway, let's move on. More Nintendo fuckery, right, Dark Sakura?
Yeah. Well, the Wii Shop channel is going to be shutting down in 2019, January. So that is a year and a few months, you know, coming down the line. And that means that all of the virtual console titles that are there to be purchased will be going away right alongside it, including... you know, games like Kirby's Avalanche, ActRaiser, Super Smash Brothers already, you know, going away. And then when it goes, you won't be able to buy those games anymore. I don't know anything about still being able to play them, but you won't be able to buy them anymore. And of course, there's no virtual console on the Switch. So I think that that might be where all these minis are coming from, you know, to corner the market on it. So... It's sad, but not unsurprising, you know? Sad.
Yeah, it's also kind of that whole, like, shock of here is the digital era that we live in when we buy all this stuff online, the reality that someday these stores are going to close. And that's kind of the scary part of this is that, you know, if you bought all these games online, I mean, you're not going to be able to download them again. After 2019, on what will essentially be a 13-year-old console at that point. But, Jamie, you as a console collector, now I guess the easy answer is you don't buy a lot of stuff online. I'm sure you don't because, you know, you get the cartridges and stuff. But there's a lot of stuff you can only buy online. You know, there was, you know, releases on Wii Shop that were only online. For example, the After Years, Final Fantasy IV, the After Years.
Yeah.
That was only on the Wii Shop, and I'm not going to be able to download that anymore. So it's like if I have memory loss on my little cartridge or some type of rot or something like that, I don't know, or it damages somehow, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. I don't know. I mean, I guess in the reality, you could lose a cartridge the same way, but still, I don't know. It's just, I guess sometimes we think like, oh, we'll be able to access these games whenever we want, but that doesn't really end up holding true. What do you think as a collector about that? Does that kind of like irritate you that there's not going to be any way to download these games again? Or is it just one of those, well, it just is more incentive to get backups on SD cards as fast as possible?
I just think it's sad, you know. It's taking away a service. I mean, for the people who've already paid for it, I think they're just like, oh, well, sorry. We got your money. Fuck you.
Some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Stoppy points out that Blaster Master sequel was only on the eStore. That's true, even though Blaster Master Zero is better. But certainly, you know, you still, the completionists want to visit all the games. Let's see. Bob Coffee in chat says, After Years got released on Steam and PSP as part of its Final Fantasy IV port, if I recall correctly. I believe for the Steam release, I can't remember the PSP one, but for the Steam release, that was done in the 3D style. The one that was on the Wii was still the sprite-based. It was like, it looked like a fucking ROM-hacked Final Fantasy II, you know what I mean, cartridge, is what it looked like on the Wii Shop. So it was kind of different on Steam. And, you know, some people want to see one way versus the other, you know. So, Tiger Claw points out, Excite Bike World Rally was a game that I bought on the Wii Shop. I bought some Castlevania game on the Wii Shop that was a remake, I think, of the Game Boy game that they put on the Wii Shop at one point. And so that will be gone forever.
Yeah, here's the other thing to realize, too, is that some of the games on here, they aren't just Nintendo games. I mean, you've got the Alex Kidd series. You've got a lot of the Neo Geo games.
So these are the virtual console games that will no longer be available because they're not on Wii U eShop, which is different. Wii U eShop is different
and
than any of that stuff, yeah.
Castlevania Rondo of Blood, which, good luck finding the PC Engine version, y'all.
Unless the Switch gets all this.
Well, there was the re-release, but I mean like the original.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of us kind of wonder, oh, well, maybe the Switch will compensate for a lot of this stuff going away, but things will have to be relicensed, agreements will have to be remade, and maybe they won't be able to get an agreement to put out Rondo of Blood again. Who knows? So, I have a feeling, because we live in the day and age where Star Fox 2 was dumped to a cartridge before the Super Nintendo Classic was released. We live in a day and age where, and this is really probably already out there, I just don't go out there and find it, but I'm confident it's out there. There's probably just a Wii emulator on your PC that you can someday put on a Raspberry Pi. Maybe you can't now, but you will someday. And all of these games that were on the eShop one day will have backups available online that are open to be able to play on emulators. Like I'm confident that sort of technology to at least do it on the PC has got to already be there. I just haven't gone looking for it on the dark web or whatever you want to call it. So, Kaijudo in chat says, so where is the Wii Shop? On the Wii. Yes, we're talking specifically about the Nintendo Wii's built-in shop that will no longer, you can't buy or use anything on it after 2019, or early 2019. And you're not even going to be able to add points so you can buy anything new after March of 2018. So you have now, from now until March 2018, to get everything you ever wanted off that shop. And that's it. It closes after that. And then it stays up for basically another year so you can download backups, and that's about it. So, all right. Then Tiger Claw says, I'm sure it will be possible since those games can be transferred to an SD card. Absolutely. Now, the Wii U, the eShop on Wii U, that is staying open. We don't know, have any word about that at this time. But the reason why you keep seeing the Wii U in news stories about this is because every Wii U has a Wii in it. You can do the backwards compatibility thing and you launch it in Wii mode, and that includes a Wii Shop on your Wii U because it's a full Nintendo Wii emulator. So that's why you keep seeing that it's shutting down on the Wii U as well, because it's the emulator part of it you're not going to be able to use. So that's why it's all kind of together like that. So, all right. And Kaijudo says, I thought the Wii Shop's been closed already. Maybe there's many people that kind of already think that. So, I mean, you know, to be fair, when was the last time you turned on your Nintendo Wii? It's been a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I only use it now to play GameCube games because I have the older Wii that can play GameCube games because all my Wii data is on my Wii U. I moved
pretty
it
much
all.
That once we got our Wii U. Yeah. We moved everything over.
Exactly. So I don't really have anything on the Wii, the regular Wii anymore, except the fact it's the only way I can play F-Zero GX in my house because I don't even have a GameCube right now. So, but I'll take it. All right. And Dark Tetsuya points out, well, aren't the Wii U, Switch, and 3DS, don't they all connect to the same store, the eShop? That's a good point. Maybe, because they do call it the eShop across all the platforms. I don't know if 3DS shop and Switch eShop and all that stuff are different, but maybe we won't see this problem for the Wii U as quick as we think we might. But anyway, let's move on with some more news. I don't want to spend too much time on things going away in a year and a half. Steam. Valve, the guys behind Steam, taking on some fake games that were listed in Steam. 173 games removed from Steam. Most of them made by a company called Silicon Echo Studio. And you can't buy them, but if you happen to own one of these games, you can still play them. However, no more trading cards will be available. So if you bought it, you can play the game, but the games themselves are gone. And the reason why, I guess, this whole thing went down is because the same company that owned this Silicon Echo and Zonatron Productions, they were doing Unity asset flips on Steam and very cheap bundles outside of Steam. So all these, the money they were basically getting was the trading card stuff. So they were just basically, you know, throwing a bunch of garbage Unity stuff together and then having the trading cards spit out. And that's where they were essentially making their money, was that whole thing. And so people that wanted to boost their profile levels and really get into the trading card game and all that stuff, that they would buy these really, you know, junk games to do it. That's crazy. So, yeah, cracking down on the practices is basically the reason for the policy. Valve saying that these games were removed from a few different Steamworks accounts that were all run by the same person. In Valve's full statements, they said, yes, we have a full-time team monitoring reports, and they identified an issue that led to the removal of some titles from a few different Steamworks accounts. These accounts are generating a lot of reports of frustration from customers and other developers. It turns out the bad actors were all the same person, operating under different accounts. So Steam trying to clean all the poop out of their store, basically. And also just a quick follow-up here in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Rama says the eShops are web-based, so they're shutting down the app and the links to that specific shop for that console. Most likely, each different eShop leads to a mobile site. That's probably true, considering that the Switch basically has a web browser in it. You just don't have the full power of it unlocked yet.
Yeah.
Bobby Blackwolf pointing out that my Wii died before I got a Wii U. I lost all my saves and never transferred data. My fiance has a Wii because she got a lot of the fitness games. She showed me today. She has like 20 Wii fitness games. But that's not surprising, because that was some of the bread and butter of the Wii, and what they sold a lot of were those fitness games.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogueNetwork.com, use the passphrase Cherry.
Anyhow, let us move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, this has been one that affects several people that we know, I mean, firsthand. SAG-AFTRA strike is tentatively over. The strike's been going on for a year now, since last October. And they put out a press release saying that the agreement that they have right now will give them additional bonuses based on the number of recording sessions per game, with $75 payments for the first session going up to $2,100 after 10 sessions. And that the payment is due no later than the release date of a game. Which is good, because that gives them a significant increase to what they were making per
per session. And, you know, we'll also, because, I mean, think about it. Your voice is your tool in that field. And if you are having to change the way you speak or, you know, be gruff or rawr, you know, voice or change
screaming.
The quality
of your
screaming.
You're playing a murder victim in some game. Yeah.
You're doing damage to yourself. And so, yeah, it should be compensated. And they're also working on providing provisions for health issues like vocal stress. And, you know, how there's a habit of fining people for being late or distracted at a session. And another one that would have required agents support their submit their performers for atmospheric voice sessions or face fines. And those sessions are really low paying anyway. So it's a lot of it is they're really working on just, again, trying to make voice actors as protected as other workers.
Yeah.
So
it's, you know, it's kind of scary how much we didn't really hear about this. Like, it was really kind of, you know, when it first happened, we were talking a lot about it. And then, and I say we, not to just mean us here at OLR, but I mean just like the gaming blog world. And then it was kind of like, it just, the issue disappeared for a long time. And I don't know if we've really seen the full effects of this yet. I mean, we have a little bit. Like, for example, there's a new voice actor or actress in Life is Strange, the prequel, right? Because the one from before couldn't come back. I don't know if we've seen the full brunt of that yet. But, you know, it's. I'm happy this finally got resolved because, you know, who knows what games in 2019 would look like without the voice, you know, with Jennifer Hale not being able to do them or Nolan North or some of the, you know, big names that you come to know. So
it would definitely be sad, but I would much rather see voice actors paid their true worth.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see them valued for the amazing work that they do.
I'm glad they worked it out.
Are working it out. It's not complete yet.
Okay.
But, you know, like I said, it's tentative.
All right.
Yep.
I'm glad they're almost there. All right. Well, moving on to one more thing before we get to the classic game, or is it system, of the week. Let's get into a story about Atlus and DMCA takedowns and Persona 5. But it's not what you think. It's not the whole YouTube streaming thing we were talking about earlier. This is a little bit different. This is an emulation group called Nicotechnica. I hope I'm saying that. Or no, Nicotechnica, I think is that. Sorry, I totally read that wrong the first time. Nicotechnica, I think, would be their name. And these guys actually had a Patreon page that they were running for a game, for a piece of software called RPCS3. It was a PS3 emulator being used to play Persona 5. And so they basically were able to get this emulator to work to basically be able to play Persona 5 on your PC. They actually put up a blog post over at Atlus to justify why this action was necessary. But, like, if you're going to go to Patreon and ask for money for this type of stuff, you got to really watch how you're selling this type of stuff. I mean,
totally.
Like, I don't even need the statement from Atlus to understand what happened here. And it's kind of like the whole thing with the Super Mario 64 and Nintendo going after them. Like, I don't like Nintendo going after these products, but when they go to Patreon and essentially ask for money and they're kind of bold enough to tie the intellectual property from these companies to the Patreon, like, I'm sorry, but what did you think was going to happen? Especially with a company like Nintendo, or in this case, Atlus, which we know is,
they think,
you know,
they've covered bases that are in a different ballgame.
Yeah.
That's really the heart of it.
Dart Tetsuya in chat says, a Patreon. I'm surprised Sony hasn't gone after them in that case. Anyway, Atlus, in their statement, said, we don't want their players' first experiences to be frame rate drops or crashes or other issues that can crop up in emulation that we have not personally overseen. We understand that many Persona fans would love to see a PC version, and while we don't have anything to announce today, we are listening. For now, the best way to experience Persona 5 is on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. And they actually, again, they kind of go out of their, I think they do more than Nintendo usually does in these cases, to say, we appreciate the buzz and awareness that the emulation communities to see this. And nowhere in their statement did they say, but it's fucking illegal.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Although.
Well, I should, let me correct myself before the people jump all over what I just said. The practice of the emulation itself, the emulator, isn't necessarily illegal, right? But it's when you tie these popular games and you're kind of implying that, you know, you use these to play these games, and then putting it on your Patreon and all that stuff, that's when you get yourself into trouble. You have to stick to homebrew. Stick to homebrew, underground, PlayStation 3 games, homemade, you know, that weren't ever licensed by Sony in the first place. That's the best way to pitch your emulator and not get shut down.
Now I want to see what this emulator's like.
Were you able to find it somewhere?
No, well, no. I'm just kind of curious about it. Of course, I'm still, you know, trying to get my brain figuring out how to play Planet Harriers.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwell says, at least stick to homebrew on the Patreon page. I mean, the interesting thing about this, and to be fair to the emulator team and all this stuff, because, again, I don't want to sound like a complete asshole to what these guys are doing. My assumption of this whole thing is that you have to have the Persona 5 disc to put in your computer's Blu-ray player to be able to emulate it. So, you know, and that's what Atlas is also taking issue with, is that because the emulator is kind of choppy, that actual disc is coming through kind of choppy because it was not meant to be played on your PC. It was meant to be played on a PlayStation 3. So it's the emulator people were not really encouraging you to steal games, but by putting the game's IPs in their emulator, it is kind of encouraging people to do something that Atlas doesn't want them to do. So, because I think technically it is in the end user license agreement, although we all know that's a bit of a gray area. Mm. Bobby Blackwolf said they actually give instructions on how to dump it on the Patreon, and that was the part that Atlas was upset about. They gave you instructions on how to dump either the Blu-ray or the digital download from your PlayStation 3 hard drive. Well, that is the giant fucking problem right there, period. Dungeon Buster in chat says, but if I own the original copy of the game, my PS3 dies and I still want to play it, I'm just screwed. No, get yourself an emulator, Dungeon Buster. Just get yourself an emulator that doesn't put a Patreon page up saying how to dump commercial games and putting pictures of those commercial games over it. Does that make sense? So, all right.
Tisk.
Let's move on to the classic game of the week. With those first emulators that came out for those classic games. Although this week, we have a twist. Because once a month, Dark Soccer likes to jump into the gaming vault.
Just lean over and take a big poo.
She dumps all her games out off the shelf. Anyway.
No, that's the cat.
Once a month, she likes to find a system that she thinks is worthy of your attention. And a little mini programming note tonight. This is actually September's console of the month because...
Reasons.
Dark Soccer was going to do it last week, but she was out last week. So... We no longer was not able to do this. So this is one day late. This is a tardy entry.
I was going to do classic game, but I had the flu.
So this is a tardy entry for September's classic system of the month.
Yeah.
All right, here it is. What is the classic system of the month?
The Panasonic Q, also sometimes known as just Q and Game Q.
And of course you put Animal Crossing as the music here.
No shit.
Of course you did.
Of course. Yeah.
So this is basically the GameCube.
Turn it up a bit.
You picked the GameCube tonight.
I picked the GameCube.
But you're making it hipster by picking the hipster GameCube, is what you did.
It was cool. I wouldn't mind having one, to be honest.
It actually is cool, but I'll let you talk about it.
It's a hybrid GameCube and DVD player that was manufactured by Panasonic. It only came out in Japan, and it was... meant to do what the Xbox and PlayStation 2 were doing, which, as in, have a commercial DVD, playback function, instead of just using the Nintendo optical discs. The Q was actually licensed by Nintendo to Panasonic, because Panasonic made... actually, it wasn't necessarily Panasonic. It was a result of a deal... that was brokered between Matsushita, who owned Panasonic, and Nintendo. And so when Nintendo said that they could produce the optical disc drives, that they had an agreement allowing Matsushita to produce a DVD system with the ability to play GameCube games. So it went into production... on December 13th, well, it was released on December 13th, 2001, for roughly $439 US, and ceased production on December 18th, 2003, because not a lot of people bought it. So it has a backlit LCD screen a front-loading slot tray that actually had a lot of problems with it because of the rubber band in the motor would get brittle and snap. But it had sound output in Dolby Digital 5.1 or DTS, a separate subwoofer with a subwoofer boost, and a really nice stainless steel chassis. It came with gray controllers that had the Panasonic brand on it. The thing is cool is that when you plug them in, the little lights around the controller ports light up blue. So it's this blue on, you know, this polished steel finish. And it was really neat. But because of the legs it had on the bottom, it actually had a special Panasonic Q Game Boy player that was designed specifically for it. Whereas the GameCube had, you know, its own version. But yeah, there's actually the buttons that are on the front of it. It has one of the ones that I thought was neat is that it has a surround sound virtualizer to it, which, you know, it just boosts the channel output to sound like surround sound. You know, it's got your typical DVD buttons on it. It's got memory card ports on the side. But I do like that it has like a bass boost. Another neat thing that it does. Now, I've watched videos of DVD playback on it. There's like a cinema mode that changes the illumination on the screen, you know, how it displays the video. But there's also a dialogue booster, which makes, of course, dialogues or whatever channel the dialogue might be in stand out from the background noise.
No surprise that Panasonic would have all these sound altering things, right? Because that's kind of, you know, something they're known for.
But that's one thing that I thought was really neat about it, especially I was thinking about people who, like, a problem that I have sometimes is that if there's too much sound, or like, for example, you have two people talking, the voice all turns to mush for me. You know, just like the teachers in, you know, Charlie Brown specials.
Wah, 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 wah,
yes, ma'am. And something like that would be wonderful to have. But and on top of that, too, just it's a sharp looking little system. It's, you know, it's got that steel body with the clear cover around it. It has that shiny front finish. And on the back, too, I mean, the thing has got some very interesting hookups on it. Hold on. We have optical out. We have a standard composite S video, digital AV out. It really is just, for its time, it's really, really something else. And so, I don't think it got a lot of appreciation. You know, people either already had their DVD players at the time, but then again, I know people who picked up PS2s to have a DVD player. The other thing, too, is that it actually does have video CD capability in it, too, if people still have those things. So, there you go.
All right, there
Panasonic
it is.
Panasonic Q.
The classic console of the month, the Panasonic Q, the GameCube. You should pick the GameCube, everybody. No.
I picked the GameQ.
I actually, you know, the Q is absolutely, as much crap as I'm giving Jamie, this is absolutely a recognizable thing because of the fact it was like this existing console that kind of had a fresh coat of paint that was very unique that, of course, we didn't get in the U.S.
Well, and it's not the first time something like that has happened because remember we had the Sharp Twin Famicom.
Kind of the last one I can think of.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything since then.
Because there was the Sega one that had the Sega CD playable.
Yeah, but that would have been before GameCube.
Was that... That wasn't also Panasonic, was it? No.
I don't remember.
And then Sharp had the Famicom TV mm-hmm. in Japan.
The closest thing I can think of is how the PlayStation TV thing is built into certain is it Samsung TVs that have it? So that's the closest thing I can think of. Is
yeah, the JVC Xi.
Ah.
Was the one.
There it is.
And Ranma said that he had a Sharp TV-ness. Mm. But, you know, also Nintendo's licensed out, you know, to Sharp for the Twin Famicom. You know, the one that had the built-in
right.
business.
Yeah.
The built-in business. I don't know what I'm saying.
Lots of puns. Sorry. I was just going to say, lots of puns about Q in chat. Ragenator in chat saying Q was a good antagonist in Star Trek The Next Generation as well. And then that led to a bunch of Star Trek jokes there. Bobby Blackwell says, I would have bought a Q if it had come to the U.S. VidPower talking about they also made a Panasonic-branded GameCube controller to go with the Q. It was all from our chat room at live.vognetwork.com.
And, I was actually thinking of Q from the Bond movies.
Oh, there you go.
So, just saying.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break, but we will be back with more of Orange Lounge Radio. We have more stories and your calls. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to call us later when we take calls after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on the 1st of October, 2017, with episode number 702 of our show already in progress. Myself here with Dark Sakura. Sadly, no Loki tonight. He was sick, if you haven't already heard, at the top of the show. Those of y'all joining us live tonight, hello, and thanks for being here over in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. Those of you listening on the podcast feed whenever you want throughout the week, appreciate that, too. Hope you guys are having a good week, whatever it is you're doing. Can't believe it's already October. Any Halloween plans? I guess we have to start planning for that.
No.
I don't know. Do late 30s and 40 somethings do things for Halloween anymore?
I might be doing like a charity thing.
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's a good use of time. Good for you.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody that needs to have a charity event put on for them is Yoshi, because apparently, I don't know if you heard about it this week, but there was a little bit of a thing going around the internet on some of the Twitters and things like that, that basically Mario is, in fact, in Super Mario World. When you see Yoshi stick out his tongue, you see Mario do a little thing that looks like this, and that Mario, and for those obviously on the radio, I'm kind of moving my fist down slowly, but I think many of you know where I'm going to go with this if you are reading something on the internet. And it kind of always looks like Mario's going like, go. But it turns out, according to a recent interview on Nintendo's official site, the developers, Takashi Seizuka and Shigefumi Hino, talked about the creation of this game and says that they talked about this where they want Mario to ride something and so forth, like kind of like a horse that was kind of like a crocodile and so forth. And then said in the interview, lots of people think that when Mario is pointing his finger forward, he's saying go and Yoshi's tongue comes out. However, the setup I drew was that when Mario punches Yoshi in the head, the character's tongue shoots out in surprise. What's more, there's an added bop sound. However, it seemed like people would say, poor Yoshi, so that's why it became that Mario is saying, go. So the original artwork for that is Mario hitting Yoshi on the back of the head. That poor, poor, poor thing. And that's why I think so many people are fans of Yoshi, because he had to put up with Mario's shit for so long. So Stoppy in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, hey, Yoshi ain't no saint. In the Japanese version, he eats dolphins. It's true. There are those dolphin monsters, or whatever you want to call them, that Yoshi can eat. So that's true. So Dark Sakura, does this change your world to know that all this time you've been punching Yoshi in the back of the head?
I've been rocked.
Well, I guess in a way...
I'm shook, Rob.
Are you shooketh? I am shooketh.
I shooked.
I guess if you think about it, when you kind of ride horses, you kind of kick them a little bit. Like, you know, there's a way to it. I mean, you're not just like...
Unless you're an asshole who wears spurs.
Yeah. I mean, there's a way to it, but you know... But still, it just... It kind of looks like a donkey punch, but I guess... Never mind. I'm not going to go there. You can fill in the blanks. Let's get to some rapid-fire news and cover some other news going on in the gaming industry a little faster here. Talking about Doom on the Nintendo Switch, and people wondering if because, oh, well, if Doom's going to be on the Switch, does this mean motion controls coming to the game? And the answer is no. It will not be like Splatoon where there's motion control aiming. There's just going to be the traditional analog controls. The game will not have Splatoon-like controls. So this really is just a straight-up port. It doesn't sound like they're doing a lot of enhancements for the Switch, at least not that we know of. Who knows? You know, Bethesda may surprise us with like a bonus level or something. I always said putting like maybe not so much. Now I think about it, maybe not Samus. I don't think Samus would work so well in a game like Doom, but Ridley would. So... Maybe something else from the Metroid universe would show up in the game. Anyway, Something else that many people are playing on the Nintendo Switch is Sonic Mania. Granted, it's on a bunch of other systems as well, but specifically with the Nintendo version, there is a home button issue when suspending the game. So the good news is that whole feature, or whatever, not feature, but bug, is actually being addressed. A patch is going to be rolling out soon. They haven't said when, but soon. I think it might be out by now because that was a tweet on September 25th, so surely it probably came out in this past week, so you can check that out. So there you go. How about you, Darksocker? What do you have for us?
There's going to be a new book come out, The Legend of Zelda Encyclopedia, that is a 320-page collection of information for the series up to the release of The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD that includes enemies, items, expansion on the lore that was released in the Hyrule Historia, concept art, screenshots, maps, main characters, language, and stuff like that, including an interview with producer Eiji Aonuma. So, good thing there. And then, Stardew Valley, which people still like to play to this day. And
it's quite popular, yes.
It's coming out on Switch. It's been approved. It's coming out. You get to farm all you want.
But no release date, right? We just know
it's
gold.
We just know it's there.
It's gold.
Yeah.
That's all we know.
It's going to be there.
It's coming soon. Just hold your horses. Don't punch your horses.
Hold on to your ass.
Them. All right. Let's check out, travel around the world and check out what is coming out in different countries around the world. And I'm going to try to do the U.S. because usually Loki would do those for you, but he's not here. So I will do my very best to fill in this week for Loki. Some of the games you have to look forward to this week include a game on Windows, Mac, and Linux called Divided We Fall on the 2nd. Cold Sept Revolt comes out on the 3DS. I'm looking forward to that. But a big release I think a lot of you want to play is Forza Motorsport 7. That is out not just on Windows 10, but on the Xbox One as well. And, of course, that's going to be one of the big Xbox One X titles. You also have to look forward to, in the download universe, Axiom Verge getting a Nintendo Switch port this week. That's coming out on the 5th. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is due for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, also on the 5th. And, I don't know, Jamie, how about Raiden 5 Director's Cut? For Windows and PlayStation 4.
I like Raiden 5.
There you go. Lastly, if you want to hold out till the 6th, you can check out two new games on the 3DS. Professor Layton's Mysterious Journey. Excuse me, that's just Layton's. I guess he's no longer a professor. Layton's Mysterious Journey.
He lost his license.
And then, yes, just like Dr. Phil, he no longer practices. And Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions. That is out on the 3DS this week as well. So 3DS getting a few releases this week. That is what's coming out in the U.S. Jamie, would you mind covering the U.K. while I switch over to Japanese releases here?
I already have the Japanese releases up, but okay. Now, on October 3rd, 2017, we have Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen for Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And on October 6th, Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions on 3DS. Sephine.
And with a very important correction in our chat room, thank you, ActDeft, over at live.vognetwork.com. It's Lady Layton. That's why it's not Professor Layton, it's Lady Layton in this game.
Why can't she be a professor?
Well, she just doesn't happen to be in this case, I guess.
Seriously.
She's a lady in this game.
Ladies can be smart.
No, I mean, of course ladies can be smart, but maybe
how
that's...
How very dare they?
That's her official title, is Lady.
I am hurt in my
like
heart.
Like Lady Gaga.
I am hurt in my heart.
This is just Gaga's adventure. All right.
I'm hurt.
Maybe she just doesn't have a degree in it. Maybe in this game you get her degree.
My sensibilities have been
You are shooketh.
I've been pissed on.
All right. Moving on to Japanese release dates. What's coming out on PlayStation 4 in Japan? How about Tropical 5, the complete edition? A repackaging of Tropical 5 with all the add-ons. Overwatch, the Game of the Year edition, comes out in Japan. It gets its Japanese release. Sniper, Ghost Warrior 3, also released in Japan this week. And the Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen that's coming out everywhere else in the world, also hitting the PlayStation 4 this week. On the PlayStation Vita, Yukyu no Tearblade, Fragments of Memory. Memory, both in a regular and limited edition, are out this week. And checking up on the Nintendo Switch this week, just some Amiibo are coming out this week, but no new actual games on the Nintendo Switch. But some of the Mario Amiibo are out this week. Lastly, on the 3DS, there are the white and lavender and black and lime 2DSs. You might have seen those pictures out there. Those are released in Japan this week. Those are really the big releases. I don't see any games for the 3DS this week, but I do see those new systems. MXC coming to the rescue on the chatter about Lady Layton. She's a detective. So detectives don't get titles, I guess. She's a... Lady Layton is a private dick. That's what it is. Do you like how I crack myself up with that, Dark Sagra?
Do you like me kicking your table repeatedly while I am distracted by the toy section of PlayAsia?
What? They have this Dalsim figure on here where he's like in the child pose in yoga with his arms like all the way across the room. And I know it's the child pose because I did yoga, but it's so weird.
So you're the authority on all things yoga now.
Okay, apparently everyone's in this pose, and they have a keychain strap coming out of their ass.
What? They get cooler figures in Japan than we do here. That's what happens.
They're cell phone character things.
Those things.
But I was like, the fuck is this? Why do they have ropes coming out of their ass? Maybe they're into that. I don't know.
The more you know. We're going to go to the mailbag over at participate at orangeloungeradio.com, where every week Dark Sakura opens up the mailbag and finds...
jack shit.
Nothing. You guys didn't email us this week.
Jack shit.
That's okay. We're not. We had a few spam emails. At least the spammers love us.
Well, spam can eat jack shit too.
But if you want to send us an email, maybe we need Lady Layton to find out what happened at the case of the missing emails.
You know what?
What?
No.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you would like to send us an email and make Jamie work. You better work.
I work enough. Okay.
I know you do.
It is hard work to be as amazing as I am and to be cuter than Loki.
Bobby Blackwolf is asking if I checked the regular mailbag account. I think those emails bounce. I don't think, and I fixed the website. So if you send something through the website, it goes to the right email now. So mailbag at Orange Lounge Radio shouldn't come through at all. I think those bounce now. That was our old email address. If I do need to go in there and check it, I don't know how. So anyway, let's move on with some more news. We're going to start off talking about the Atari Box. That's right. More information was announced on the Atari Box this week. And I don't know about you, Dark Sakura. I'm not feeling this. The Atari Box is going to be running Linux. It'll be on, which is fine. That's not the part that bothers me. It's going to be on an AMD chip. It's going to cost $250. Yeah. So the Atari Box will be running on Linux with an AMD processor. It'll be between $250 to $300. Atari Box creator and general manager, I'm going to totally mispronounce this name and I apologize, Fergal Mack, said that the Atari is going to be doing a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo to launch the Atari Box in the spring of 2018. The Atari Box is going to launch with a back catalog of classic games, so the box will make people hopefully, you know, want to play stuff that in the past, as you know, the Super Nintendo Classic and stuff has done well with this, but also going to run independent games like Minecraft and Terraria and the things that people want to do today. You will also be able to do streaming, run apps, browse the web, play music, because this is basically a PC or a Raspberry Pi, a little stronger though, but in an Atari box. Feedback from fans on things like content, colors, and so forth will come into play on this. So you can look forward to that if you want to fund this on Indiegogo. Here's my problem with this whole thing is that as much as they want to do the whole classic nostalgia thing, you guys know those flashback consoles that are out? There's already an Atari flashback console that I think is $60 or $70. I think there's several models. They're up to, I don't know if you know this, Jamie, have you seen those Atari flashback things before?
Yeah, I have one like in a drawer somewhere.
They're fine. They get the job done. They're basically like the NES classics, basically, but for Atari. They're up to 8. So this year is the Atari Flashback 8.
Do you know how many Atari cartridges we have laying around?
Oh, God. Well, there were so many games. There were so many games. That's why the whole industry
crashed.
Well,
the thing lived for, like, ever.
Yeah.
No Atari party next year, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's tragic.
That is sad.
I'm sad. But anyway.
In my heart.
You can have an Atari party whenever you want. if you have all the real stuff. Or a Flashback 8 is what they're up to now. The new thing they added this year, Activision finally let them put things like Kaboom and Pitfall, I think, is in there, and Hero, and some of the Activision games, which really were like some of the biggest titles on the 2600 were old school Activision. And yes, that same Activision that's around today that owns Blizzard, I mean, they got their start really in the 2600 era. Do you remember why Activision got so popular and why so many people went to go make games for Activision?
Because it was a bunch of Atari people that left.
Yeah, because Activision would properly credit their developers.
Yeah, there's that.
Because when Pitfall was made, it was David Crane's Pitfall.
Remember also, what was it? No, it was EA that used to do the album artwork.
Oh, yeah.
And have the pictures of the developers inside, like they were a band and everything.
I remember that. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, yeah.
So I guess no wonder they're in the same bed now.
Yeah, maybe. ActDef points out there's also a gold version of the Flashback 8. Yeah, that's the one drawback, is that there's a Flashback 8, there's a Flashback 8 Activision Edition, there's a Flashback 8 Gold Edition, and like all of them have like slightly different games on them. And I don't know if it's like a gotta collect them all type of thing, but that part's kind of annoying. Just have one with all the fucking games on it, because we know that like you can fit every Atari 2600 game like ever made on like one of those older floppy disks from the 1990s. Like, seriously. Atari games are not that big. They were, what, 4 kilobytes, 8 kilobytes?
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest ones ever were, like, 32 kilobytes, and that's pushing it. I don't even know if they ever got that big.
I don't think so.
So you take hundreds of those, and you're not even going to hardly fill up an old disk like that.
Now, actually, I'd like to point this out, too, kind of as a side note. As a side note, right? For people who want to see... have an idea of what old arcade games look like, the Atari arcade games, there is a special I saw on, it was YouTube or something, maybe Netflix, but it was about Steve Jobs when he worked for Atari.
Oh yeah, because Breakout was a Steve Jobs thing, right?
I think him was, yeah. And Woz.
Oh right, that's where they kind of met. Yeah,
but well, they had already met before that. But
sorry, it was like the band's first album, let's say that.
But the thing is that they talk about how many chips and how much money each chip took to make an arcade game. And then later on when you talk to the developers of some of the home versions of these games and taking, you know, the arcade game and trying to reprogram and compress it into such a smaller package. I mean, no wonder Pac-Man was kind of crap.
Oh yeah, that's the whole reason why Pac-Man was crap. The developer of Pac-Man wanted a larger cartridge for that game, and Atari said no. And that's why Pac-Man could only draw one ghost a frame.
Why was sweaty balls?
Anyway. Anyway, here's the thing with the Atari boss. I don't want to be a hater. I want to see Atari succeed, believe it or not. I'm rooting for you. But Atari has to figure out what's its niche. Because the problem is, I can fucking play Minecraft and Terraria on fucking Xbox 360 at this point, which is going to be way cheaper than $250. Fucking A. Xbox One S, aren't those down to like $200 at this point? Same thing with PlayStation 4s, like the entry models. Those are getting cheap. Like, and if those are going to be cheaper than an Atari box, Atari needs to find its niche. And the classic game archive on Atari, somebody else with the license beat you to it, guys. So you got to figure out how to strengthen that. Now, how about just throwing it out there, if you really want to milk the nostalgia, figure out something different you can do with those classic games that the Flashback console can't do. You can have a pure emulation mode, fine. But what about something like, here I go, you ready? Xbox 360's Game Room, where you had the leaderboards, the videos, you could play online with somebody else. Yeah. Now you're milking that classic arcade library with something a little extra that doesn't exist on the Flashback console that might appeal to some people. You know, that's a start. But again, that price is still pretty high. I think, you know, Atari Box is really going to have to figure out, like, what's its niche? What's it really going to be able to do that can't already be done by a device that many people already have in their living room that would be the audience for this sort of thing? That's sort of my take on that. Oh, and Dark Tetsuya points out, I even forgot about this. Those PlayStation 4 and Xbox One collections, there's already 2 volumes of those. You're right. There's already Atari collections on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So you can even play old Atari games already on Xbox One. So Atari Box, figure out how you're better than Xbox One. Okay, Rama points out Xbox One S is between $249 and $299. Okay, fair. Same price as what Atari Box is looking at. So how are you going to be better than Xbox, Atari? Or what are you going to give that Xbox can't? And that's the only way this is going to work.
Sorry, Atari, your heyday is over.
This is the only way it's going to work.
Yarp.
Good luck. I hope you can figure it out. All right. Let's move on with something else. Dark Sakura.
Well, this is the ultimate of Splatfest and the first one I actually give a shit about. Kind of literally. Nintendo of Europe has announced the next date and time for their next Splatfest in Splatoon 2. It's the first full week of October, and it asks a question that is relevant to my interests. Which way should your toilet paper go, over or under? So if it goes under, it's team front roll. If it's under, it's back roll.
Back rolls.
I know, right? I was thinking
Sorry. My favorite thing. This was my proud Twitter moment. I have a lot of Twitter moments where I'm like shaking my head. This is the worst dumpster fire of an internet website. But a rare proud Twitter moment came on the announcement post for this that Nintendo made on Twitter. There were so many replies with the Alyssa Edwards GIF going, back rolls.
Right.
And I was like, Twitter, I'm proud of you in this particular moment. So there you go.
So anyway, it starts off on October 7th, and it will run for a full 24 hours. But, of course, we know that the right way to do it is front roll.
This is one of those things where I don't care enough. Like, I understand this is a very controversial thing. I feel like I don't have a horse in this race. That's what it is. Like, I don't care if the paper is front or back. I really don't. I just care if it's 3-ply versus 1-ply.
But if you do it the wrong way, you're wrong. You're wrong and you should feel sad.
Have they said if they're doing this in America yet? I'm trying to see if it's...
No, I haven't seen anything about the U.S. yet.
I'm looking at the wiki and I don't see it, but I don't see the Europe one listed there either. So I'm wondering if one of our Splatoon fans in chat over at live.vognetwork.com knows the answer. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, leave it to Europe to tackle the real issues. Kaijudo in chat says, do you ever look at an adding machine? The paper is back roll.
Yeah, but if you look at the patent for toilet paper, it goes over.
Oh, God. Here we go. Let's see. Act Deft.
And it's also GIF.
Act Deft in chat points out, Japan's new Splatfest is stamina versus power. That one's interesting, but it's not like the types of things that divorces are made on. Like this Splatfest is.
No, you know what my divorce would be?
Huh.
God damn it, close the lid. I'm taking the cat and moving to Japan. Bye. No, really.
And marrying Margaret Cho.
No, I'm done with that.
I'm not interested
in her anymore.
That fantasy's over. I apologize.
I'm not interested in her anymore.
Okay. You moved on.
I am interested in just living my moe moe dream in a little farmhouse in Japan.
Work.
Close enough to a train station that I can go to cool places.
Let's see. And ActDeft is confirming that America has not gotten a new Splatfest yet, so we don't have the official announcement. However, it is worth pointing out the first three for America and Europe were all the same. So if this does change, it would be the first one that is different. So we'll see what happens there. All right. there it is. The world's most controversial Splatfest. This is going to get ugly. I don't know what team to pick. You know, I don't care enough. So I guess I'm going to figure out what my friends pick and go with that. So,
Rob, all right,
let's move on to another story. What?
Rob.
What?
Don't be Alyssa. No back rolls.
But I like Alyssa Edwards.
I like Alyssa, but no back rolls.
All right. I'm going to ask a drag queen what I should do. All right.
I can arrange that right now.
You know, one thing I think we can all agree you shouldn't do is buy Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Balls.
I'm sorry. That was a really low blow. I'm sorry. Horrible transition.
The bar isn't that high.
But here's the reality, guys, and I apologize to the MVCI fans out there, but Your game's struggling a little bit. That's the reality of the situation. And that's here it is. The sales charts are happening. The Japanese charts came out this week. So Media Create reported the numbers. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite charted at number 8 on PlayStation 4 with 8,273 copies sold. Keep in mind the Xbox One is a non-factor in Japan. We don't even know how many it sold there, but it wasn't many. Here's the thing. So 8,000 copies sold, 8,000 and change. Pokken Tournament DX with the number one spot, 53,393 copies. That is a re-release of a Wii U game, essentially. Now, to be fair, not everybody had the Wii U. This is part of the reason why it's being re-released. But still, that is over, what, five, I'm trying to do math fast, five, six times as many copies of Pokken Tournament sold than Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite in Japan. Also worth noting, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix for the Switch, 16,404 copies. Street Fighter 2 outsold Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite in Japan this week. Street Fighter 2. What do you think of that, Jamie?
I have nothing to say.
By the way, in the UK, kind of a similar story, just so you know.
It's all poop.
It's not looking good there in the UK either. It was mentioned in a tweet that Ultra Street Fighter 2 for Nintendo Switch had a better opening weekend than Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, although I don't have the numbers over there as well. So there it is. ActDeft in chat over at live.fognetwork.com also points out Pokken Tournament on the Wii U sold more than Street Fighter 5 on release, so I'm not surprised. That is true. That was kind of a quote-unquote shock, I guess you could say, at that time. Although, you know, those that have played Pokken Tournament, I know many folks that are really, really into that, such as ActDeft.
I have a copy and haven't played it yet.
It's good. I have it on Wii U. I'm a little hesitant to buy it again on Switch. I don't think I played it enough to justify the repurchase, but I think if you didn't get it on Wii U and you like fighting games at all, and, you know, especially Tekken, which, you know, obviously this has a lot, Pokken has a lot in common with it, I think it's worth a look. I do. I would recommend it on that basis, but I don't know if I would want to rebuy it myself. I'm just not that into it to do that, but there you go. So anyway, sorry to you Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite fans, but I don't know. Capcom kind of dug themselves a hole with this one, and I don't know if it's the fact that the X-Men aren't in it, or just the art style at first was just sending a bad message when this game was first revealed, or they just made a bad game. But this does not bode well for Capcom and fighting games when their game from 1990, yes, an updated remix and all that stuff, yes, but still, a game from that long ago is doing better. I don't know what that says. Anyway, speaking of games from long ago, Dark Sakura.
Data East. Need I say more? Data East gave us Bad Dudes, Karate Champ, Kung Fu Master,
and
Burger Time.
Burger Time!
Yes. Well, there is a company called G-Mode that is working on a Data East revival project. So, on their page it says, are you looking for a Data East license? Here's the answer. G-Mode owns over 100 titles of Deco Data East franchises, which includes, let me just pick the ones that don't, you know, expressly suck. Well, I played Fighter's History a bit. I kind of like that. Joe and Mac. Lock and Chase, Midnight Resistance. Midnight Resistance is a fucking good game. Dark Lord, Burnin' Rubber, Bloody Wolf, Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja, Crude Buster, also known as Two Crude Dudes. So, yeah, they're working on trying to re-release some of the games, and basically, you can reach out to them on their webpage so that they can find a partner to get the games out. So, yay, Fighter's History.
I seem to remember.
Care more about Midnight Resistance, to be honest.
I seem to remember not that long ago, there was like a Burger Time reimagining game that came out, and it kind of came and went. And I want to say it even got delisted at one point because I think the idea was they probably lost the license, and maybe this kind of answers where it went, is back in the pool for someone else to snatch up. So,
and someone snatched.
Yes. So maybe, you know, I don't know. maybe some like really hardcore developer can pick up Burger Time and do like a Burger Time Ultimate type of game where like you murder those fucking eggs and bacon that chase you around the board.
Be like, you know, zombie burger.
Exactly. All right. From the developers of Bayonetta bring you Burger Time 3. All right. I think this is really cool, actually. I think this actually makes the Assassin's Creed series, which is not something that I really ever super get into. It's just, you know, again, I don't have time to play everything.
I know people who are obsessed, though.
This, I think this is great, though, is that what they're doing is that in the latest Assassin's Creed game, Assassin's Creed Origin, a free Origins update in 2018 is going to let you turn off combat, story, and challenges for an educational mode called Discovery Tour. And it's because of the, you know, high-level graphics engine that these games provide, this is going to allow you a way to actually kind of explore ancient Egypt in an educational sort of sense. And if you're kind of rolling your eyes at educational games, well, then don't fucking play it. There's Assassin's Creed Origin for you to play. But I think this is kind of a really neat enhancement to an existing game to use the engine for something, you know, like, if you like this game so much, why don't you learn a little something about it?
Well, to point out, I mentioned this before when I was taking, well, it was a few years ago when I was taking art history, that my teacher used scenes from Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh.
To illustrate Italy during the Renaissance. Because, I mean, some of the, you know, the buildings around, you know, are, you know, of course, severely damaged and things have been rebuilt and everything. But it, she said that, you know, from maps and pictures, that it was a fairly good likeness.
Yeah.
Of, you know, Italy around that time of Rome, mm-hmm. you know. And so we had slides from Assassin's Creed 2 in cool. art history.
That's cool.
And then we talked about how the de Medicis hated each other.
Well, anyway, Discovery Mode is going to be out in early 2018. It will not be there when the game releases on October 27th, but you do have this to look forward to. Again, in this mode, you're going to be able to explore ancient Egypt. There will be no enemies running around. They will also add a series of guided tours. Curated historians and Egyptologists will be available, I guess, in the game. Maybe they're getting some people to do some voicing and some writing for this stuff. You can learn directly about pyramids, Cleopatra, mummification, and more. You can learn all about all the those big things that go with...
I would play that.
I think that's neat. I think that's just kind of neat.
I would totally be down for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So, very cool. I props to the developers for doing that. VidPower in chat says, Age of Empires 2 is my favorite education game. You know, I learned stuff from Civilization, you know, as much as you might kind of laugh at that. You know, when you build Wonders of the World, you might learn, you know, they get do a little narration about why they built it and, you know, what it was for and all that stuff. So you kind of learn, you know. I thought that was kind of cool. All right, just a few more stories for you guys. Dark Sakura, one more story from you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've hit the 30th anniversary for Mega Man or Rockman. And there was a phrase that was said by the producer of the Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, Kazuhiro Tsuchiya. And as it was said, and I'm just going to read the quote because it's very interesting. I want to say that Capcom has not forgotten about Rockman. The logo here is being put to good use. That was the 30th anniversary logo. Rockman's 30th anniversary is coming in December. December, please remember that date. On behalf of Uchi and everyone here, we are looking forward to it very much and hope you are as well. We are deeply pleased to be able to share this with all the fans who have made this possible. Thank you for all of your support up until now and in the future. What does this mean? We just have to keep waiting with bated breath until December to find out. And it better not be, you know, he's in another Street Fighter game.
December being the PlayStation experience in Vegas?
Maybe.
Probably
just getting another game or maybe a release. Just I mean, it'd be nice if they did a new game.
Not a fucking re-release. We've had plenty of fucking re-releases.
How many different
new
ways
game
can I play Mega Man 2?
Yeah, new game or get the fuck out.
You know what?
Legends 3 or get out.
What if they did, like, you know how Mega Man X was all the big release now?
Uh-huh.
What if they did, like, a new type of Mega Man platforming franchise?
Mega Man Z. Why not?
Mega Man Z.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Do it.
As long as the game's good, that's what I fucking care about.
Or we have the improvement upon Mega Man EXE. Now we have Mega Man DMG.
Anything is possible.
So it can be a Mac installer, not a Windows
executable.
All right, one more story for you guys before we open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. And yes, I saved the best for last tonight, at least from my perspective. Very excited to hear about this. There is going to be a Commodore 64 Mini, as if the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic wasn't enough. Now, Jamie, this one would be worth getting because most Commodore 64s don't even fucking work anymore. Like, it's very hard to find one that actually works. So I love this, that they're actually doing this. So they're actually going to be putting out a Commodore 64 Mini. It's going to be a fully licensed recreation of the 80s. They call it console, but it was kind of a computer. It will connect via HDMI. It will have a joystick. Even though there was no official joystick for Commodore 64, there were a few popular ones that I think this is based off of. And there will be, of course, 64 licensed games. Ha ha! The console will be half the size of the original. Those things were huge. Some of the games to look forward to: California Games, Impossible Mission, Another Visitor, Stay a While, Stay Forever. Did you ever play that game with the bad synth in the beginning?
No, I didn't. But what was that school game? That terrible school game. Or was it on Amiga?
The school game. I don't remember. There's a lot of... like, educational game or, like, out of school?
You were in a school.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was on Amiga.
Maybe.
Anyway, I remember, like, this aardvark game.
Where was I? Speedball 2, Brutal Deluxe, Paradroid. You can look at more information over at thec64.com/games. You can actually look at all the games in it, including, and this is kind of funny, Chip's Challenge is in this. I know the guy that made this game, actually. So I kind of want to bring... he lives here locally, so I kind of want to bring him on OLR to talk about this. Maybe I want to know if he even knows this is being made. He may or may not. I don't know. Impossible Mission 2 is going to be in there as well, which is the less noteworthy sequel. Monty on the Run, that was a huge game if you were kind of into games back then. Anyway, there's some good picks in here. Cybernoid, those games were really big on Commodore 64. You know, Last Ninja's missing and some other stuff. But, you know, I think there were only so many licenses they could get. They couldn't get things like Donkey Kong's C64 port and things like that. But this looks to be a pretty good selection. I'm very interested to look for to see it here. So anyway, I'm looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Black Wolf actually has an answer for you. School days, maybe. And that's it? You said yes, school days?
That was it, because I remember the classrooms were yellow.
Wow. Wow, good job, Bobby. All right.
And it was for the Spectrum. That's what I was thinking of.
Other things that are available on this mini classic Commodore 64. Pixel filter options, save game functions, and the ability to use a USB keyboard. No word, though, if it has the full Commodore 64 shell in it. Like, where you could launch into BASIC and maybe program your own thing. I don't know if it's going to go that far, but that would be really rad if it did. I'm sure somebody would hack it to do that. It will be out in early 2018, and it will go for €69.99, because it's not coming out in the States. It's coming out overseas.
Of course not.
Yeah, so there it is. It's not going to be coming out here. It's coming out overseas. I hope they will find a way to release it here. I understand that Commodore 64 was huge overseas, especially, you know, in the UK and stuff, but I have a big place in my heart for it here, so I really hope they find a way to put it out here. It's being developed by Retro Games, not the same company as Retro Computers, who are making the Sinclair Vega Plus. Retro Games did the 64, and they're working with Koch Media, who owns Deep Silver, to distribute the console. So that's pretty exciting. Yeah, I agree. Tiger Claw Chat says you could import it. It'll cost more. Yeah, I probably could. I mean, hopefully these things won't have the scarcity problems that consoles over here have had with Nintendo stuff, and I can just ask one of my friends over there to go into a shop and get me one, like, you know, send him money or whatever, and then just have it sent that way. Maybe one of my pals from Girls Gone Wow or Geek Card or something like that, one of our VOG shows in the UK, maybe somebody will help
your
me out.
Pal pals.
My pal pals. Yes, my pal pals. I get it. Power. Yeah, you're funny. All right, if you want to call in and tell us a joke, the Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you would like to give us a call tonight and say hello. I do want to mention this because, well, actually, it looks like, of course, this is our first call tonight, but I'm going to take this because I heard there's a little story going on here, and I want to make sure we take this call, if I can actually pick it up and say hello. You are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Reginator.
Hey, Reginator. Hey, I'm going to interrupt whatever you're about to say and tell you congratulations, because I saw your news in the chat room that you got engaged in the past week.
And you just ruined my call. Thank you.
You're well. Well, I got you. I surprised you. Boo.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to lead in with a stupid, corny half joke, half non-serious question.
You corny jokes?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a given. You know, it's like water's wet. You know.
Is that Pope Catholic? Bear shit in woods, etc. Yes, I get it.
Yeah. I was going to lead off with the question, like, does the C-64 have an app saying that, what the weather report for hell is? if there's another app that tells you if a VOG community member recently got engaged.
Well, I heard, because bird is the word, and I heard some birds in the chat room saying what was going on there, Rage. So congratulations. Let me ask this question. Is she a gamer?
Not really. She has a very mild interest in it. She doesn't even have a computer right now. But
yes, but Rageinator, you know the rules. She will soon own your computer.
Yeah. Yeah, such as it is, honestly, I really haven't done any gaming, so to speak, myself lately because I'm still working on my computer issues. But that aside, but my intent is to slowly wean her into gaming. So
if she wants, Rageinator, don't force her anything. Yeah, she thinks it's boring, then do something she likes for an hour, you know?
Well, that's pretty much a given, honestly, I already been focusing in on what she wants so far. So, and you know what the scary thing is? I already been engaged for 3 days, and I'm not even married yet. Nagging has already started.
Welcome to a whole new beautiful world. Going to chat, of course. Chat is reading you as they rightfully should. Kaijudo saying she knows all the Steam sales. Stoppy says he's GOG, she's Steam. It's like Bloods and Crips. It's the Montagues and Capulets, to use a very very dated reference. But you know,
are you trying to jinx us? Are you trying to get us killed? You know how the story ends, right?
No, yeah, I do, but hopefully yours will be much better. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't think anybody's died over Steam yet, or GOG, that I know of. So,
yeah. Oh, I just posted a pic in the chat like 30 seconds ago as you were speaking. Unfortunately, we haven't taken a couple's picture yet, but that's in the works. But, that's the only thing I happen to have handy, so...
Oh, this is the first time I'm seeing her. She's a lovely lady. So, congratulations.
Totally. Yeah.
You're Mazel tov.
I was going to say she's lucky to have you, but the real answer is you're lucky to have her.
I already know that. Honestly, well, backtrack a little bit. I assume you already know about the medical emergency I had like a week and a half ago.
I think I picked up on that, but I didn't want to disclose that myself on the show. That's your business.
Well, feel free. You probably can do it a little bit more succinctly than I can. So,
I my understanding is you went to the hospital over some heart issues, to put it briefly, right?
Correctly.
Yeah.
But anyway, that basically served as a wake up call for me. As a result, I decided to go all YOLO and decided to grow a pair. And said, you know what the fuck, propose, so. And she happened to be in town. Unfortunately, she lives out of state, and it just fell into place, She was initially shocked I even did, but, accepted, so.
All right. Well, congratulations, Rageinator. I'm happy for you guys. And keep us posted when you know when the wedding's going to be.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep you posted. We haven't really gone that far yet. We're just kind of like letting it stick in,
Don't rush. Don't rush into it. Take it slowly. You got as much time as you guys want to plan that. You can do it tomorrow if you want. You can do it in 2 years. So it's up to you. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Take care, buddy. Good to talk to you. Yeah. Congrats.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Orange Lounge Radio. Oops, sorry. Since I'm using the iPad, it's a little different here. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you would like to call us. So I know that wasn't really a lot to do with games, but you know what? Because Raginator calls into this show all the time, and I'm sure y'all are curious, you know, and you want to hear the good news when things happen and good
he's
things.
He's family.
That's right. He's fam. So we're happy for him here at Orange Lounge Radio. Speaking of fam, I think we're getting another call on the line right now connecting. So let's check in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? It's the ringtone. I wish
I could have had that as a real tone on my phone.
You probably could get it. You probably just need a Windows phone. All right. I think it's connected this time.
Ew. Shut your whore mouth.
Even Bill Gates, I think, uses an Android
Shut
now.
Your whore
All right.
Mouth.
Anyway, no. Look, we got a caller on the line. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It's Ronma, and I'm kind of speechless right now because I heard somebody trash talking a Windows phone.
Yes.
Keep in mind, I don't like any phone that isn't an iPhone because I only buy good stuff.
Because she's a fangirl.
Oh, well, yeah, that I know. It doesn't help the fact that at work, I have an iPhone, and I'm sitting here looking at it. I want to be able to make basic adjustments where I can do in Windows Mobile and Android. And a friend of mine's like, oh, yeah, swipe from the bottom. I threw the phone across the room and said, I quit for the whole damn day. And then it's bad enough. I want to make a ringtone. Create a folder called ringtones. Drop the song in. The system will see it. iPhone, you got to use iTunes. Go through iTunes. I still can't do it. Go digging around, found a program that does it for trial wear. I just want one song as my ringtone, and that's
it. You
want
to know how long it took me? 5 minutes. Tops.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't. By just creating a folder on the phone itself, it should automatically pick it up. I shouldn't need special software to do it. And I'm just like.
All right.
It was easy.
We didn't. I know your intention was not to call in to talk about cell phones. So what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
No, it wasn't. Couple of things. One, I'm shook about this Atari box. Pardon me, but I'm summoning my inner techno nerd rage and some of Loki's rage. You mean to tell me an AMD powered console by Atari is going to run between $250 and $300? No. I can understand if it was an Intel. Yes, I can get that. But unless they are opening up this console for not just for the classic games where you can develop games for the Atari box, I'm sold. Brand new next-gen games, retro games on an Atari box, I'm sold.
For what it's worth, I do think that's part of what they want to do. They want to do Minecraft, Terraria. They want to do those types of modern games. It's not only classic games. And I think that's important to put out there.
Well, that's good. And I'm all for that. Because if this thing at this price is no more powerful than a GameCube or a Wii, then you know what? It's going to stay right on the shelf.
The crowdfunding part of this kind of worries me, too. Dark to see brings up a damn good point. Sounds like the Ouya, but probably more powerful. But there's a few Ouya fans left, but for the most part, like, everybody was mega hype about the Ouya, and then, like, Ouya kind of yucked out the door in, like, 3 months.
See, but the difference I see on the software aspect is Ouya was powered by Android. You can root and jump into that. This is going to be a pure Linux system where they're going to be locking it down a little bit more. They're going to be able to do a little bit more with the hardware itself, with the OS.
See, I know. Our buddy Brad from Pod Culture jumped in. I liked my Ouya. But Brad, I love you, dude. But you're the one Ouya fan that I know of out there. But that's cool. That's cool. But most people were kind of, you know, didn't really find the reason to get it. Eventually. Anyway, you still with us,
yeah.
Rama?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here, bro.
It's all good. So, anything else on your mind to share?
Super NES Classic.
Oh, yes.
I understand everybody's like, you know what? F Nintendo. I'm going to go out and get the ROMs. I'm going to go out and emulate it. I'm going to go build my Raspberry Pi and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I actually thought about doing it because I have a Raspberry Pi, but I won't do it because I am that lazy. I will not sit here and, like Bobby Blackwell said, spend the whole afternoon putting it together. No, I ain't got time for that.
Nobody got time for that.
But I will say, there are games on this system from my teenage years, my childhood, that I absolutely love. And the main reason why I will put in the attempt to get one is because of Secret of Mana. That game got me through a really hard time in my life.
I have so many memories with Final Fantasy III, you know, and yes, I know it's really six, but to 15-year-old Rob, it was Final Fantasy III. I have so many memories with that game, like I can't even.
Bro, I used to rent Final Fantasy III from the video store, and every time I returned, I would re-rent it, or if I couldn't re-rent it, I'd hope and pray that I'd remember what the subcode was on the game, so I knew which one to rent, so I could pick up from my save game, and hope and pray that some asshole didn't delete it.
I threw diva fits. I did whatever chores had to be done. I kissed ass. I did everything it took to get Final Fantasy III. Once I played it at a friend's house.
That's what I did to get my Super Nintendo, period. And then I ended up getting it for Christmas. I was like, yeah, boy.
I love it. Yeah, you know, that's fine. If people want to do the emulator thing, then cool. But I think there's some weird connection that some of us have with the whole fact that it is the official Nintendo product and it is, you know, the official channels and everything. There's just something that just can't kind of... You also know there's been a lot of quality checks for something like this that maybe haven't happened on the whole emulator side that I think are somewhat important. But, you know, I'm not going to knock people that choose to do the emulator thing, you know, more fine. It is what it is. But just understand that there's people that want to do it this way, too.
Yeah, you know what? You can go out and do all that. You can actually buy a 3D printed Super Nintendo shell to put on your Raspberry Pi. You can actually go that far.
Let's talk about this, Rama. Let's talk about this. This is important. I don't even really like Raspberry Pi. Like, lemon meringue is superior.
No. It's all about peach cobbler, my dude. Peach cobbler.
Versus Raspberry Pi, I'm with you there. But the all-time supreme is, no surprise,
coconut cream.
Pumpkin pie. Thank you very much.
God, you are so extra, Rob.
Well, thank you. I haven't been given a compliment
coconut
all night.
Coconut cream, which makes me now want to go to Nations.
Banana cream is my second favorite.
I want to go to Nations now, Rob.
I had my friend had a birthday on Friday, and we had banana cream pie at the dinner. Oh, so fucking good. Anyway, Rama, you made the conversation go back to food, whether you intended to or not. I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in one more call, but thank you.
Go for it, dude.
All right, take care, buddy.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. All right, that was... our friend Rama from Anime Jam Session Tuesday nights here at the Voice Geek Network. And let's see. Oh, wow. This is a nice change where the phone is actually ringing off the hook tonight because usually it's not. And I have to sit here and vamp for time. Now I just have to vamp for time because this fucking tablet is slow to connect. And that is definitely a goal before the end of the year is to upgrade. See, and now I hung up on him. Son of a bitch. Sorry, buddy. Call back if you got this. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. It is my goal before the end of the year to have this replaced. So, and I, when I say this, I waved my hand at the studio stuff when I said this. Okay, I think we are connected this time, and I can say, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is ActDef.
Hey, ActDef, buddy. How's it going?
Not so great.
Good to see you, but I'm sorry it's not so great. What's wrong?
Well, it's the SNES Classic.
Amazon fucked you again, didn't they?
You guessed it.
Well, I read Twitter. But what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Didn't you learn after they wronged you last time?
One would think that I would have learned the lesson, that I would have stayed away from Amazon.
No, look, I'm teasing you a little bit. I also understand that these Super Nintendo classics were so desirable that people kind of went to where they could get one. So, like, I was able to get one at Best Buy, which, oh, I never told the story about how I ran into trouble at Best Buy. Sorry, Deft, I'm going to hijack your call for a minute, but this is important.
No problem.
All right, thank you. You know, at least you can watch. Okay, so, Jamie, get this. So I pre-ordered my SNES Classic on Best Buy when I was lucky and I found it on Twitter and I fell in that 20-minute window and I could get the pre-order there, right? I go into Best Buy and they say, what's your name? And I give them my last name that you would see on my credit card and my driver's license, right? And they say, we don't see that in the system. And I'm like, here we fucking go. And I'm thinking in my mind, I knew this is too fucking easy. I knew it. And it turns out, so they looked at my barcode and they're like, we see you here. It looks like this is for Rob Roberts. And I'm going, fuck. So as you guys, I'm sure, know, Rob Roberts. Yes, that's my name here on Orange Lounge Radio. That's my internet persona name, but that is my fake name. Like Lady Gaga uses a fake name, right? So that's just something I've always done since way back when Travis first got me into this. He said, you want to have a fake name. So that was it, Rob Roberts, right? So I don't know how that ended up on my Best Buy thing, because I'm thinking like, what? But I wouldn't have, that wouldn't have been, that's not the name on my credit card. Or that like, how did that fucking get connected to Rob Roberts? Well, I'm thinking it might have somehow got tied to my Facebook account, because that's something you can do on Best Buy, is tie it to your Facebook account. So anyway, so they wouldn't let me pick it up because I didn't have any ID that showed that my name is Rob Roberts. So first thing I learned this week, I need fake ID that says that I'm Rob Roberts. Second thing is that, but this, and the happy ending of the story, because I did finally get it. I had to actually go onto the website in the store and put Rob real last name as my pickup person to actually pick up the console. And I had to wait there for like 10 minutes while it went through the system and the new label printed out there. And so you can actually see, Jamie, if you look at the side of the box on that label, it says my real name to pick up for my stage name. Which is funny because, again, the credit she's making this face of like...
I think it's also stupid that they have stickies on here.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Are they low tack?
I hope so.
Yeah, they're low tack.
Okay, that's good, because I didn't like that either, because there's no shrink wrap on. I almost said saran wrap, but shrink wrap on that. Anyway, there you go. There's my story. I don't know how my fucking stage name got on my Best Buy order when, again, that's not the name on my credit card. Mm-hmm. But I have had stuff shipped to the house under my stage name, but usually that's like... game companies sending me the very rare review copy or things like that, because they're not going to know me as my real last name. They know me as Rob Roberts, which most people on the internet do. But anyway, that's my whole issue. So, but unfortunately, Act Deft, I know my story had a happy ending. I just was slightly inconvenienced, but yours, we don't have a happy ending yet, do we?
No, it's terrible, because... And I was going to a point with actually learning from Amazon and not ordering from them, but at least the previous times that happened with the Switch, it happened with the Splatoon, it even happened with Pokken DX, it even happened there. But at least I got a confirmation from them that I would get it. Right now, anyone, and I mean anyone, who ordered from Amazon doesn't know shit about when it's going to get fulfilled.
What's really frustrating about that whole thing, and where I would be at in that position, is that meanwhile, the fucking treasure trucks showed up from Amazon selling those things in different cities. And then what? Did it show up on Prime Now as well? I feel like it did in some places.
It didn't show up on Prime Now, but it showed up on Instant Pickup, which is different because they, I think they... like send it to a place like something like a P.O. box.
Oh, right.
And you can pick it up there.
So, and this isn't, and of course the first thing I was going to ask is the fact that you're in Mexico have a complication on this, but you actually, you have these things delivered to a U.S. address, right?
Yeah. I have a U.S. address that a friend and I share basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also like a P.O. box, but it's for all type of mail.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, I have to do that because if I try to buy a SNES Mini here in Mexico, it's around the, and this is retail price. It's not even like a scalper price. It's around $140.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's cheaper to rent the fucking P.O. box. It's crazy.
Way cheaper.
Wow.
Well, and it's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, Amazon really owes their customers a really fucking good explanation. I mean, here's the reality. I can tell you right now, the Amazon that ships the SNES Mini to your house is not the same Amazon that runs those treasure trucks. And that's the reality. That's why this is happening. They are separate companies that are, well, they're separate branches of the organization running under the same name. I'm not excusing it, but that's what's happening. But the problem is, most people don't understand that, and most people see it's Amazon, and why the fuck is Amazon screwing me over while meanwhile the trucks are pulling into major metropolis cities where maybe I don't even live and letting people buy these things that ought to be mine, that I pre-ordered.
And yeah, I'm not angry towards the treasure trucks or instant pickup, because people got got their SNES Classic that way, and I'm happy for them. I'm really happy. I'm kind of salty, but happy at the end because
sure,
it's something they wanted.
It's not their fault, Amazon.
It's
fucked
not
you.
Their fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only thing I would want from Amazon right now is to explain this stuff.
Yes.
Because Amazon hasn't said a word about it. That's the most frustrating part, that Amazon hasn't acknowledged this. And all of the people, all of us, who stayed up late on August 22nd at 1:30 a.m., I remember exactly when I pre-ordered this thing. We got screwed badly, and we don't know even if we're going to get an SNES Classic soon. And I really and it's like, my God.
Somebody, no, I am with you 100%, ActF. Somebody needs to hold Amazon's feet to the fire on this. So I don't know if I have journalist friends that listen to this show. I know I have a couple, but I don't know if they're listening to every episode every minute. But if I have any journalist friends that have connections out there that are doing a story on this, somebody needs to grill Amazon's PR department on how this happened. And by the way, something to think about. What else does Amazon own that's under the same umbrella with gaming? Twitch.tv. And one big thing that they're pushing on Twitch right now is help us sell video games on Twitch. Well, I'm going to ask this of Twitch. Twitch, if you want me to help you sell video games, how are you going to guarantee that you're actually going to give them to people? Because you're all Amazon at the end of the day. Even though, yes, Twitch is a different building than Amazon Treasure Truck and Amazon. How are you going to guarantee that the people I'm going to push to buy things on, and I say that as a Twitch affiliate, how are you going to make sure that the people that buy games on Amazon get them when they think they're going to get them and when they're promised them? And that's
exactly
the questions I would like to hear people asking of Twitch.
Yeah, exactly. There's tons of stuff going wrong with Amazon right now, and especially with their gaming pre-orders and all that stuff. It's crazy that it isn't even like mentioned in any game journal or gaming blog out there, because I've searched. I'm trying to look for answers to see if Amazon has said something, that if anyone has already received their SNES Classic, but no. We haven't seen anything, and it's, again, frustrating, because I ordered two, one for me and one for a friend who lives in Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want that to have it like as soon as possible, because another friend of ours is going to Mexico City, and I wouldn't have to pay for shipping.
Yeah.
But if I have to pay for shipping, I would have to pay for importation fees, the shipping itself, and it's going to be another 50 to more, even more dollars.
Way more money.
We really don't want to spend.
Well, ActDef, for what it's worth, I'm going to cross my fingers and my toes. Tomorrow is Monday, and if business things are going to happen, maybe Monday you'll get your answer. You know, it all went down on a Friday, so maybe Monday Amazon will have some answers. But if Amazon doesn't produce some answers on Monday, then I would call on any of my folks with connections out there who do these stories where they get to interview Amazon or interview Twitch. Ask these hard questions. People like ActDef need you to ask these questions. So, all right, my friend, I'm going to let you go and hope for the best for you, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Keep us posted. We'll check in next week, okay?
Sure.
All right, take care, buddy. All right, I think that is going to do it for the Skype line tonight. I'm going to definitely be watching his Twitch to see if he gets that SNES Classic, or any of my friends that ordered on Amazon get their SNES Classic. But I think we're about to wrap up tonight's show. That's it for another edition of Orange Lounge. Unless you had a last-minute story you want to talk about Dark Soccer, I don't know.
I did find an interesting story about in fact, I actually reposted it on my Jamie Summers fan page on Facebook, if people would like to maybe give it a like. But I posted about the resurgence of pinball itself, that after a sharp decline, pinball has actually gone back into the rise with over 35,000 international tournaments. So, and then of course we have more and more machines being released, and it makes my dark heart a little bit brighter to know that that's happening.
Any thoughts on why pinball? Is it just kind of the whole like nostalgia thing? Like,
I think a good bit of it is nostalgia. Uh-huh. I think the other thing comes with it actually being some sort of, tactile sensation. It's a game that you are more directly interacting with, whether it's, you know, shaking the table, you know, without tilting it,
right,
or catching the ball and doing tricks with it. It requires, I think, a higher degree of skill, but anyone can pick it up.
You know, in some ways, you know, we make fun of the whole pachinko machine craze in Japan sometimes about, oh, Castlevania is going to be a pachinko machine and all this stuff. But in a way, pinball is kind of what we have instead of pachinko. Yeah. Like, in a way, I mean, right? Because it's similar.
They have their origins in the same place.
Exactly. They have their origins in the same place. So, you know, and I think if Konami were to say, we're going to make a Castlevania pinball game, most people would be like, fucking rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to Stern. Stern's the one making them.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, our coin op has Lexi Lightspeed, which that one is supposed to be, it's really a first of its type. It's a supposed to be a modular table that has a video play field. So the interactive elements are, when it hits a target, it changes on the play field.
Mm-hmm.
It's full video. And it was really fun. And it's supposed to be able to be modded into other pinball tables. So,
all right. Well, I think on that note, then, we're going to wrap up another edition of Orange Lounge Radio. I want to thank you guys for listening to the show tonight. Really appreciate you guys' support. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only spread those voices if they're here with us, either live or via emails and tweets and all that stuff on the podcast feed. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word about Orange Lounge Radio. That's all we ask, really. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever you found this show, those go a long way as well. That's it. I think it's time to do final thoughts tonight. Dark Sakura, you want to go first? Your final thought tonight?
Hell is other people. No, I mean, I'm really okay. It's just when you're dealing with mitigating issues between a bunch of people and then other people decide that, oh, we need you to stop everything in your actual real life and work on stuff 3,000 miles away. Please don't do that to me. I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
So.
You're only one person.
And I may be awesome and cuter than Loki.
Feel better, Loki.
But no. All right. Just. I need a day alone. But I'm seeing gorillas this week.
There you go. That's something to look forward to.
So fuck yeah.
All right.
So I have to say reject false icons.
Fair enough. My final thought tonight is I am going to bed early tonight. I'm so tired, but it was worth it. I had a fun day, and it's always good to see my old friends and my new friends, too. Friends are great, right? Go hug a friend this week.
Friends.
Who needs them? No, I'm just kidding. Everybody needs them. Go hug a friend this week. We'll see you in 7 days to do this all again here at Orange Lounge Radio. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.